It's time for Middletown Playoff Football on WMSS. Today's game is brought to you by the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Michelle Lutz Creations with you in mind, Middletown Pharmacy, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, JD's Junction, Gingrich Memorials, Middletown Home with Kids in Mind, J&J Pizzeria, DHL, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, Brownstone Cafe, Jack's Auto Sales, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, The Black Horse Tavern, S&H Screen Printing, Hetrick Center, Siebert's Garage, and VFW Post 1620. Now let's take it down to Bethlehem with the WMSS Sports Crew. And a pleasant good evening, everyone, from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This is the Blue Raider Sports Network. John Wilsbach, Steve Leedy, Brian Kaiser, Dan McGarrow working our Facebook page tonight, and Darren Rank on sideline. It is the unbeaten Middletown Blue Raiders at 12-0, taking on Scranton Prep at 12-1. This is the AAA State Quarterfinal High School Football. And gentlemen, it has been many years since we were last here, 1988, when Middletown lost to Berwick in the Eastern Championship game. And here we are now, many years later, in a quarterfinal matchup in Bethlehem.
Yeah, I know you and I were up here in the press box, Brian. I believe you were down in the stands in the band at the time.
I was.
And that was certainly a tough pill for Middletown to swallow that day. That Berwick team was very highly regarded. I think they gave up four touchdowns all year, and two of them were to Middletown in that 16-12 loss. But when you look at Middletown football and the history, what games do you talk about? There are two. The Berwick game here 28 years ago and the Ricky Waters game down at Middletown in 1986. Those are probably the two biggest games in, we'll say, recent Middletown football history. But it's nice that they have put turf on this field because yeah. It was a tractor pull place like 28 years ago. There was more dirt on it than there was grass, but now they have nice artificial turf on the field. So that's a plus.
You want some symmetry to this game, too. Tonight's opponent, Scranton Prep, what do they have to do with any of this stuff? Their game last year that got them the District 2 championship, they beat a team 37-7. That was Berwick and George Curry's last game before they retired as a coach and then passed away this past year. So there is a little bit of symmetry. Everything has come full circle. I don't think there's a single former player, though, who doesn't remember this field, being at this field, and remembering how difficult that game was. I think some of the demons have a chance to be exercised tonight.
Already a great crowd lining up in the Middletown side, the home side, right below us in the stands. Not many on tap for the Scranton Prep folks. And we invite you to join us on our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. Go to our Facebook page. We'll be joining you live with some pregame analysis on there as well in just a little bit. And our Dan McGarrow will be having some highlights throughout the night. And, of course, listen to our broadcast, 91.1 FM, WMSSFM.com, and also on the TuneIn app, tuned to WMSS. And we've got a lot of things to talk about here tonight. We've got coaches as well. Brian had a chance to talk to Brett Myers, head coach for the Middletown Blue Raiders, and we'll talk to him when we come back here on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbeiner, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbeiner, not just another funeral home.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Kaiser back on the pregame show alongside of Middletown head football coach Brett Myers. We're recording this on Tuesday because of the Thanksgiving holiday, so it probably hasn't been a long time, but in football terms, it probably has been to process the importance of what happened on Thursday night and the emotion and everything else. Just talk to us a little bit about your emotion as not just a coach, but also as somebody who went through this program, who is a Middletown guy straight up, and here's a district championship that your team is able to bring back.
It means so much, Brian. I mean, when you look at it, you look at the community support that was there Thursday night and all the emails and texts and letters that came in from alumni, not just football alumni, but alumni in general, of how proud they were of our boys and how they played and how they got there. It was very, very special, and it was nice to see a total community effort from the community, not just parents, but former players, people that live in town, to the band, to the cheerleaders, and then finally to our boys that went out and played hard. It was a special night, and it was really, really nice to see Middletown, where a lot of us think they belong, and that's competing at a high level.
It was a four-quarter game, and it started off maybe a little bit shaky. Did you detect some nerves maybe from the team? Because it seemed like after they got the first touchdown, it really settled down after that.
I think there's just some excitement. You know, and some people sometimes get those confused. And there was some excitement because they were excited to be playing on a big stage and excited to show people what they could do. And after all that got out of them, after a couple hits, they settled in and they played the way we'd expect them to play.
It was a quality Wyomissing team that had some dual threat. They could run the ball normally, and they throw a ball. A team that was balanced coming in. You play another team this week that has a similar makeup where they have the ability to run the ball, and when they need to, they throw the ball well. Is it a good preparation for the game against Grant Prep?
When you say it like that, yes, but they're two totally different monsters. One is a wing tee that ground and pound and throws the ball, like you said, on some sprint out and some things like that. And then you got a very complex offense that we're going to see from Scranton Prep that they like to ground it out too, but their quarterback's a little different, sitting back in the gun, and their pass concepts are a little more advanced than some wing tees things. So, well, in theory it is, but we'll see a whole different offense come Friday night with a whole different level of execution.
Is it a similar offense, just in seeing a couple things from them? Are they similar in many ways to maybe like a Lower Dolphin and what they run?
Oh, without that, that's probably a very, very good comparison to Lower Dolphin schemes with a lot of zones and their quarterback sitting back there standing tall and slinging the ball around. So that's probably a safe comparison when it comes down to the style of offense they run.
Let's talk about this week specifically of practice, because you get an extra day because of the game being on Thursday, and also because Scranton Prep's game was on Friday,
an extra opportunity to actually go see them. I know that there were a ton of guys up there to actually watch that game as far as coaching-wise and to scout. How much of an advantage is that to win your game and then be able to go up and know that whoever's going to win the next game is the next opponent?
Well, it's always an advantage to be able to see a team you're playing live. But at this level, where we're at right now with eight teams left in the state in our classification, and after this week only being down to four, there's not many advantages because they're very well coached. It's a very good program. And I'm pretty sure the night before they were sitting in the stands watching us, no different than we watched them. So, you know, in theory, there's some things there. But in the end, when you're playing a quality program like this, a day doesn't help.
Thanksgiving's on Thursday. It's the day before the game. I'm assuming that the players are going to be coming in for practice during that time. How difficult has it been to juggle schedules, though, because there's a lot of families, and Thanksgiving being such a family time, has it been difficult trying to get as many people as possible to be able to be there?
No, it probably would have helped if I didn't realize that this week was Thanksgiving last week. But other than that, now our kids and our family are totally all in, and they're committed to making sure that their kids are where they need to be and players are ready to go practice. And overall, it's been pretty easy once we realized that Thanksgiving was this week.
What's the big key to this game coming in now? As far as let's look at your team offensively against what Scranton Prep does. What is the big thing that your offense has to do this week?
Well, we're going to have to handle some of their different looks. They're a multiple team who is based out of a 4-2-5, but disguises a lot of coverages, and different times they'll show up in a three-man front. So overall, we're going to have to offensively handle their scheme changes, but the other side of it is handle a very, very physical front eight who prides themselves on getting to the ball, and we just got to match their intensity there.
Last thing for you, Coach, and that's you know, the health of the team right now. It's been a long season. It's one where the team has incurred some injuries along the way, but relatively how healthy is the team at this stage in the game?
Well, we're about as healthy as we could be on a Tuesday before, then, you know, from the previous week. We got some guys that are a little bit limited yesterday, but by Friday I would expect everybody being ready to go, since in the end we're coming down to it and guys want to be on the field.
Good luck Friday.
Thanks, Brian.
Middletown head football coach Brett Myers back with more after this here on the pregame show on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials in Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
and Scranton Prep head coach Terry Gallagher. Coach, you have to be very proud of your team for what they've been able to accomplish this year. And teams faced a lot of adversity, and they were able to not only get back to this game, but also repeat as District 2 champions. Talk about this team's resilience.
I think it starts with the older guys, the seniors. They've done a great job all season. Kind of accepting their roles, understanding what it takes to get back to places like this and opportunities like this. And I think they've done a good job all year just trying to understand that it's the next game and focus on what we can do and how we can get better.
How important has continuity been, the fact that this being your first year as a head coach, but still it's the same staff, and you were here with this staff last year and for quite a time before that?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think in terms of the staff, we understand our roles and things like that. I think the kids understand us. They understand our personalities. We all kind of fit well. And I think, including with that, that the kids understand, what we expect from them. It hasn't changed. Coach Nick Donato set a great example for us over the last couple of years, and we just kind of picked up from where he left off.
Defensively, this team has been rock solid. What do you really attribute the success of this team defensively?
Just everybody understanding their roles, understanding, to be disciplined, to understand what we're asking them to do, not telling them to do too much, just do their job, and we should be okay.
What do you expect from Middletown tonight?
They're a very good football team. It's going to be quite a challenge, and hopefully we can, step up and play a great game.
Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thanks. Okay.
That was Scranton Prep head football coach Terry Gallagher. When we come back, I'll have a conversation with Middletown alum and a member. He was a sophomore on that 1988 team, but he's also a father now of one of the Middletown football players. Scott Douglas will join me in the pregame show coming up after this here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up home-style meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363 or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
You're back on the pregame show, and I'm joined by a friend of mine and also 1991 alum Scott Douglas. Scott, you are the parent of starting right tackle Brenton Douglas, and as an alum to this program, but also I think more importantly right now, a father of one of the players. Talk about your emotions right now going into tonight's game. How proud you are, but also the anxiousness of not being able to be personally involved in the outcome, but having to watch it.
I would say the parallels of my junior year and Brendan's junior year right now are pretty unbelievable. My junior year, I was a starting right tackle on the team that went undefeated. His team went undefeated. In the ninth grade of my junior year, Scott Eberle broke the all-time leading rushing record. Brendan's ninth game of the season, Jalen broke the all-time rushing record. Unfortunately, my season ended on Hershey Park Stadium. Brendan's continued last week.
So, with both of you playing the same position, and also, this offensive line, we've seen all season long how the legacy guys of this team have really helped really spur this team on. How important is that tradition, that Middletown tradition, and being able to be part of this?
It's unbelievable. I think one of the biggest things that is making this program successful is the names you hear. You're hearing Stettler, you're hearing Snavely, you're hearing Stager, you're hearing Leach, you're hearing Maxwell, you're hearing Douglas, you're hearing Souter. So a lot of the guys that built those teams up in the late 80s, early 90s, their kids are now playing on the field right now. And so you knew it's cyclical, it comes around, but the talent's there, but the parents are there before the kids.
And also, as far as, I mean, the community support, too, because it's the same people, and it's people who understand how important football is to the Middletown community.
Yes, we had breakfast this morning at Cuppy's, my dad, Brendan, and myself, and we had seven people offer to buy his breakfast, and every other person in Cuppy's had a Middletown shirt on, a Middletown hat on, and Brendan really has a tough time being part of that and being proud of that, but I tell him, thank everybody. The old Etsy thing, tell everyone we're working hard, come out and support us. But it was unbelievable at breakfast this morning how many people were supporting the team and supporting Brendan.
Now, you have a very special bond to a lot of the guys on this team because you also coached a bunch of these guys and coached against some of these guys. You coached 4-7 service and against the Middletown program. Talk about how that really has developed and what you saw early on.
4 years ago, there's a game played at Mams Junior High Field where basically every senior on the field right now and the juniors right now were either on 7-stars or Middletown, and everyone that watched that game knew good things were coming down the road. I mean, you just saw it. For a community of only 10,000 people to support two youth football programs, but to put the talent that we have out on the field, you saw it, you felt it, you knew. Back then, you were either 7-stars or Boys Club. Now they're all Raiders, and none of that matters, but you saw the talent 4 years ago, and what's coming up through the pipeline, it's very exciting.
And it's a lot of programs, you know, they'll have that one team, a unique situation with Middletown where you have two different ones, but it really has worked well as a pipeline into this team.
There's been years where we thought of consolidating both programs, and the numbers justify having one or two programs. But last season, the youth club Midgets won the Super Bowl, and their Ponies won the Super Bowl. This season, the 7-stars Ponies won the Super Bowl, and the Midgets are one game away. So the fact that the kids that are coming up through right now, that Brett Myers comes out to the youth practices, he's involved. We're communicating with the high school program, and these kids know what they're coming into, and they know they're coming into something special right now.
Let's segue to tonight's game, but I think more for a lot of the fans who are listening right now, the game that was on this same field back when you were a sophomore,
yeah.
And the fact that this game, that's a different field, obviously, as far as the turf being on it, but same location. I think a lot of people may be a little bit eerie, the fact that, hey, this game is played exactly where that one was. Just talk about that game a little bit and, you know, just your recollections of it.
Well, I think the understanding was when Middletown pushed to have this game at Hershey, Scranton Prep didn't want it because we played Lower Dolphin and Wyomissing there. Scranton Prep wanted this game in Hamburg. We didn't want to go there. So when the PIAA threw out a few fields and this was mentioned, I believe Brett Myers said, let's pick this field because in 1988, there's a lot of players that's heart are still left on this field over that game. Scott Souter's played in that game. Coach Pelletier was at that game. Coach Boylan. There's a lot of connection to the guys that laid their lives on the line during that Berwick game but came up short. So I believe Coach Myers' prep this week is we can avenge a team. We can make up for a town that still is feeling heartbroken over a loss 28 years ago.
How much would this really mean to the Middletown community to get over the hump here today?
It would be amazing. You can just tell from last week from the parade going through town that the support is there. There's a lot of negative stuff over the last few years in the community of Middletown, but it's amazing walking through Giant, walking through Carnes with the Middletown shirt on. How many people come up and say, does your kid play? Yeah. Oh, number 70. Wow. You know, for the first time in a while, I'm proud to tell people I'm from Middletown. Everyone has a little pep in their step today, and the community is unbelievable the way they're supporting these kids.
Well, let's hope we have a win to take back to them, and good luck keeping your nerves in check today. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
That was Scott Douglas, back with more here on the pregame show on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
CME Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. CME Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's CME Lawn Care and Landscaping. 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Welcome back, everyone. John Wilsbach, Steve Leedy, and Brian Kaiser with you here on the Blue Raider Sports Network. We are set for kickoff tonight. The Triple-A quarterfinals of the PIAA High School Football. Middletown 12-0 and Scranton Prep 12-1. Brian, big battle tonight. Each game getting a little tougher for Middletown this season. We expect nothing less than this one.
I think the big battle tonight is going to be in the trenches, because I think Middletown has the speed advantage as far as the skill position players. It's going to be how well are they able to hold up against the large offensive line and defensive line for Scranton Prep that has allowed them to be so physically dominant in their game so far this season. Scranton Prep, they're going to want a ball control. Both these teams want to and need to get out to quick starts.
Middletown has averaged 42 points a game this season. Scranton Prep around 33. Scranton Prep's got some guys who can run and some guys who can receive, Steve.
They do. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. I think one of the biggest keys today is going to be not getting down. Both of these teams don't like to be behind. They don't have very much experience in being behind. And if you get down by two scores, that could be big in this game for the team that goes up by two scores.
Middletown without linebacker Bobby Graham, injured last week. Did a little warm-up, sent him to the locker room. He's out for this one. Ethan Newton will play both sides in this game. He'll fill in the void. Watch us throughout the evening. We'll give you some highlights. And for those of you on the radio, we're on the TuneIn app at 91.1 FM. So thanks for joining us on Facebook, and keep checking out Facebook tonight, folks, at WMSS 91.1 FM. Our Facebook page will have some live updates for you. We'll have highlights for you on there, but of course the broadcast here on WMSS. And one thing I don't like going into this game, Brian, I noticed this last week when I started looking at highlights of these two teams, almost identical uniforms. You've got two teams wearing gold helmets, two teams wearing gold pants, Middletown wearing the blue jerseys, Scranton Prep wearing the white jerseys. But that's too close of a clash for my liking. I don't like that.
I think we're going to be okay, John. I think both teams are aware of which team that they're throwing to. I think the guys who are you'd worry about that most of all are your quarterbacks, and you have two of the smartest quarterbacks that you're going to run into. Chase Snavely for Middletown is an absolute bookworm, absolutely studies and pours over game film to try to pick out the tendencies. The guy on the other side, Jake Bryan, he's a guy who's been talking to some of the Ivy League schools, including Yale, about playing football for them later on. So he's got a good head on his shoulders, too. It's going to be a very heady matchup there.
Middletown kicking left to right with the call. Here's Steve Leedy.
All right. Thank you very much, John. As Middletown will kick off from left to right, it's going to be Brady kicking it off to Giannone, and it's going to be Giannone who picks it up at the 2-yard line, out to the 10, cuts back, and he'll be pushed out of bounds around the 17-yard line.
Take a look at the starting lineup for Grant Prep. Jake Ryan, the senior quarterback. He's a 60% thrower, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on the season. He's also a threat to run with their inside read option. Matt Gilmartin is the starting running back. The junior replaced two-time 1,000-yard rusher Ricky Morgan, who had a leg injury and is out most likely for the season after he got injured against North Pocono. Braden Burrier is an outstanding senior fullback. Jake Grady, Mario Giannone, Cree Cocadrilli are the wide receivers and tight end.
Ryan will start here in the shotgun. Two receivers to the right side. Now man in motion over to the left. Ryan takes the low snap, hands it off. That's Gilmartin, cuts back, and he is going to be upended by McCoy at the 20-yard line for a gain of 4 yards on the first play of the game.
Rest of the offensive line. Kyle Polishin is a 6'3", 245 senior left tackle. Chris Earhart, Dom Giacobbe, Max Borgia are your inside guys. Borgia, the main guy, he's all-region 2 years in a row as a senior 225-pounder. But Charles Farrell in that right tackle position, 6'3", 280-pound junior, he's a guy who is getting a lot of looks.
Slot right, wide left. Ryan, shotgun again. Gilmartin standing to his right, gets the handoff, and he is swarmed under in the backfield. About 3 Raiders got him back there. Giacobbe was one of the 3, and it's going to be a loss of 2 yards.
There's a guy we've seen swarming all season, Giacobbe. What a great job he has done. You don't know which side he's coming in on. Sometimes it's right up the middle, and he always seems to many times be the first guy in there. When you're missing a guy like Bobby Graham in this one, you need that other quick guy charging in.
Scranton Prep throws a lot of passes to the outside. Very seldom they go inside.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Ryan, back to pass. In some trouble, they throw a screen. It is caught by Gilmartin, and he's got a first down out across the 30 to the 32, 33-yard line.
It's a great play call, too, because you have a very aggressive defense in Middletown. You take advantage of their tendencies and also the tendencies of your own offense, throwing a lot of passes to the outside. You set up that middle screen. There's nobody there to cover the running back, and he picks up the first.
Now, the only one that was close enough was Kyle Truesdale, and he got blocked completely out of the play.
Two receivers to the right again. Now first down for Scranton Prep up at their own 33-yard line. Doherty in motion, so 3 receivers out to the right. Ryan handoff, Gilmartin running to the left. Middletown swarms there, and it's going to be no gain on the play.
Take a look at the Middletown defense with Tristan Maxwell, Hayden Landis, the ends. Ethan Newton gets the start for Bob Graham, and Griffin Radenball there, the tackles. Jake, Blake Giacobbe, Hunter Landis, your linebackers. Your safeties, LaRon Woody, Kyle Truesdale, Trey Leach, with Jonah McCoy and Tyre Mills. Are the corners.
And Ethan Newton, who's filling in for Bobby Graham, in on that tackle that time.
Two receivers again to the right, one to the left. Ryan has now 3 receivers out to the right side as they send motion that way. Ryan's going to roll that way, tosses. It is caught at the 37-yard line, and going down right away is Sam Dixon.
Well, when he was there, gave him a little bit too much room. As soon as the catch was made, and that's where we've seen the middle town speed the season, staying off the receivers a little bit, but able to get to him quickly for the tackle. They're going to have to tighten it up a little bit more than that, but again, Woody was right there on him, didn't allow much.
They are, but Ryan is going to look for the easier of the passes. He wants to have something open up, and when there's nothing there, that's that check down lane, that 5-yard out, and they layer their patterns a lot of times into these formations.
Big 3rd and 6 here for Scranton Prep. Man in motion to the left, so 2 receivers that way. Ryan, back to pass. We'll throw the short one. That is caught 42-yard line, and it's going to be a first down across midfield. Breaks a tackle. That is Gilmartin. Mills has to make the tackle down at the Middletown 22-yard line.
Missed tackles is always going to get you in trouble. And for Middletown, there were 2 different players who missed tackles around midfield, and that allowed Gilmartin to keep turning. He's not a guy who wows you, but what he does is he's got a motor, and his legs just keep churning and churning the guy who's come in place of Ricky Morgan.
And they run that play a lot in the season. You can see it on a lot of the highlights to where they're hitting that receiver in the back of that running back, and he's got a couple receivers right there in front of him to block down that sideline.
That was a gain of 41 down to the Middletown 22-yard line. First drive of the game here. Scranton Prep, handoff goes to Gilmartin, tries to get outside, does so, 20, cuts back, 15, 10, and down to the 7-yard line.
Hunter Landis had him, missed him, went down too fast, didn't get a hold of the leg.
And the concern for Middletown here in the early going is, are they amped up maybe a little bit too much at this point? Because what they're doing is they're coming out and they're aggressively going after the football, but they're not able to maintain the tackling form, and form cannot make those stops. And so far, a bunch of missed tackles.
Line to both sides now. Doherty in motion, so two receivers to the left. Ryan's going to look to throw. Throws, and is way over the head of Doherty over on the flats on the left.
Doherty had a big game last week against Montoursville. Five catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown for the 5'11 junior. They will use him as a third receiver many times in this Cavaliers offense. It was a very impressive win a week ago for Scranton Prep over Montoursville, but that was a team that was very one-dimensional, and they were able to shut down Bryson Mussina, their quarterback.
To the left, one to the right. Gil Martin in the backfield with Ryan, who's in the shotgun, second and goal from the 7. It's going to be Ryan keeping it himself on the keeper. He bounces off a man at the 5 and is going to be tackled at the 2-yard line.
Truesdale, the last one to get him there. But, yeah, bouncing off guys, trying to make some arm tackling right now, and they're not getting a full grab and they're not getting enough of the body.
Now, arm tackling goes back to getting there but not breaking down, losing the fundamentals just momentarily, and Middletown's got to get back to it.
Third and goal at the 2. Power eye backfield. Gil Martin is the deep man. It's going to be a pitch to him, and he's going to try to go to the right side. He's going to get stuffed. Nothing on the play. It'll be fourth down and goal at the 2.
That's a great job by Middletown defensively of getting penetration on the outside, that left side of the Middletown defense that blows up the pitch play. Surprised that they went that way with the power eye going to the left, but they wanted to run behind their right tackle, Charles Farrell.
And they brought Tristan Maxwell right before that play, and he's one of those stuffing up that left side.
Surprised they're not going field goal here, because they do have a pretty good kicker who in Alec Butner, but he was struggling a little bit in pregame. Maybe that's why they're going for it.
Yep, fourth and goal at the 3-yard line. Two receivers to the left. Make it 3 as they have motion that way. Ryan looks to throw and will throw into the back of the end zone. It's tipped and going to be incomplete. Middletown will take over on downs at the 3-yard line.
You talk about a big bend, but don't break on the first series, Brian. They gave up a couple big plays out there, but stopped them inside the 10. And now you just set yourself up for one of them big monster runs here, Mike Thompson.
All right, you've got a young first-year head coach in Terry Gallagher on the Scranton Prep sideline. He makes that impulse call. I think my team is going to benefit getting on this team early. They don't get it done. Now it's up to Middletown to make them pay for that decision.
The Raiders take over for the first time at their own 3-yard line. 6:38 to go in the first quarter. We are scoreless.
They got to put Stetler back there right now in the backfield with the.
This is going to be illegal substitution as Middletown had an extra player on the feet in the huddle. So it'll be 12 in the huddle. It's going to cost Middletown 5.
Which won't cost them much since they go half the distance to the goal line. Yeah. And they're going to pick the flag up.
Okay.
Wow, Corbin Stetler, one of those players who was out with that collarbone injury, just got back last week, saw some limited action, and they're trying to work him in a little bit more again this week.
So it'll be first and 10 for Middletown at their own 3-yard line. One thing to note, there are no play clocks here at this stadium. Split backfield. Snavely under the center, handoff goes to Fox, going left, trying to get the corner. He's going to be tripped up and cuts up at the 5, gets to the 7-yard line, where it'll be 2nd and 6.
And that's disappointing when you talk about the play clocks, because here you are playing in a nice big stadium. You're in the Eastern quarterfinals. Even if they had to bring them in temporarily, there's no reason they shouldn't have play clocks for a game like this.
Well, Chase Snavely will get by with that. He's 6'1", senior, 185 pounds. He's calling the signals. With Jalen Thompson, the all-time leading rusher for Middletown, over 1,300 yards this season. Brady Fox getting close to that mark. He's the other tailback, the junior 5'9", 195-pounder.
2nd and 6 from Middletown, 7-yard line. Split backfield, handoff goes to Thompson, tries to cut back, and he gets hit up high and dropped at about the 9-yard line.
I don't know why he tried to cut back, because he had some open room out there, and he had blockers pushing forward to take up a little bit of that outside.
Ivan Balovich, the tackle for Scranton Prep, and a big third down coming up here for the Blue Raiders. They're starting tight end Malik Noon, Tyre Mills, the wide receiver, along with Trey Leach. Offensive line of Trey Michael, Tom Stager, Ethan Newton, Griffin Radenball, and Brendan Douglas from left to right tackle.
Slide to both sides. Snavely almost had him jumping off sides. They say he did not cross over the neutral zone. Slot to both sides on third down and three. Snavely will hoist it deep, looking for Mills, and it is going to be intercepted.
He was looking for Stetler.
That's going to be Jake Ryan with his third interception of the year. Essentially, though, guys, that's like a punt. Not a great punt, but a punt nonetheless, as it was a deep ball being thrown down the field. I'm surprised that they went deep towards Jake Ryan, who not only being the quarterback, also is the best defensive back of this Scranton Prep team.
But you're right. Had they had the punt, it would have probably been out maybe close to this area.
So Scranton Prep takes over the Middletown 36-yard line, so they've got great field position here. Slot left, wide right, Ryan in the shotgun. He'll take the snap. He's going to keep it himself, and he's going to be stopped in the backfield. Tristan Maxwell makes the stop back at the 39-yard line, a loss of three on the play.
And Brandon Burrier got away with a push in the back and a hold to be in part of all of that action. And the official was standing right there.
I don't think that Scranton Prep is going to win with Jake Ryan's legs today. And I don't think it's necessarily the running game, at least in the early going, that's going to get it done. They're going to have to throw the ball and throw it a lot against this Middletown defense.
Slot left, wide right. Second down, 13. Ryan takes the snap. He'll throw the middle screen. That's Gil Martin. He's got a lot of room. 40, 35, and a flag is thrown.
Got to be a hold on this side.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an illegal block against Scranton Prep. Absolutely nothing that Middletown would have done in that instance to incur a flag.
It's interesting they've gone to a play twice already early on here. Obviously, it is successful because too many Raiders are biting on that, but hey, they're seeing it's open and working
when
still.
When you go to the well, you sometimes go there until it's dry. And for the Scranton Prep team, again, playing off the tendencies of Middletown, a very aggressive team. The other thing you have to be careful about, this is a Scranton Prep team that loves the trick play. They usually throw at least two or three of them in the game plan each week with the possibility of using them. So don't be surprised to see them throw a halfback or a wide receiver pass of some sort of a reverse or an end around. This is a team that is very good at pulling those sort of things. It's a matter of when they do it.
Second down and 18 after the penalty at the Middletown 44-yard line. Ryan takes a snap, rolls to the right side, will throw on the run, and it is going to be caught by Grady. It's close to the first down as he was falling to the turf as he made the catch. He got 17 down to the 27-yard line.
McCoy was over there, had a couple guys kind of overcommit on the ball and allowed to sneak through.
I think McCoy thought he was going to make the interception and didn't see Grady flying in. That's a tremendous catch that time by the senior wide receiver, the leading receiver on this Cavaliers team coming in. That's his 29th catch of the season.
It's now a third down and one for Scranton Prep at the Middletown on a 27-yard line. Power eye to the left in the backfield, and they're just going to have Ryan just burrow up underneath and get the first down to the 25-yard line.
Smart move, quick snap. Just dive down underneath your center. I needed about a yard, yard and a half. Got a little bit more than that.
One way to keep this Middletown explosive offense from hurting you, keep them off the field. So far in this contest, we've played ticking down to about 9 minutes of this first quarter. Middletown's had three offensive snaps.
First down and 10 for Scranton Prep at the Middletown 25-yard line. Grady's out to the left, two receivers to the right. Darter comes in motion. He gets the give on the jet sweep, slips a tackle, and will get finished off back at the 28-yard line. Loss of three.
Well, what's scary is the word you use there, slips a tackle, because there are two players that had him go through their hands. Once again, they're getting the body, getting the legs, but there's still going.
But, John, there's so much penetration, though, from wherever the flow of the play is. That's where I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of a counter coming at some point soon for Scranton Prep. Middletown is flowing so quickly, ball side, when they see that sort of jet sweep motion.
Slot left, wide right, second and 13 at the Middletown 28-yard line. Coca-Julie switches over to the right side. Brady goes in motion to the right as well. Ryan from the shotgun takes a snap, will throw, and it's going to be off the mark and incomplete. Looking to get it over to Giannone over on the left sideline.
A little bit of pressure on that time from Hayden Landis, but still that ball was well off the mark. And this is a great opportunity now for Middletown. And this is a place, too, you're figuring four down territory from here. Look for them to maybe even get something short as opposed to going for the whole enchilada.
We're in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. John Wilsbach, Steve Lee, Brian Kaiser, scoreless first quarter. Check us out on WMSS 91.1 FM on Facebook.
Slot left, wide right. Cocodrilli switches over to the right side again. Ryan in the shotgun as Grady go in motion to the right. Takes the snap. Looking to throw. Steps up in the pocket. Fires deep across the middle. It is caught, and it's going to be a first down for Scranton Prep at the 12-yard line.
Grady with a nice route was open. Raiders just off of him a little bit too much.
And I didn't like what Middletown did defensively on the play. They had one defender over to that left side. He had the deep safety, but it was a very late move by the inside safety to jump over there. And it almost seemed like it was so late that Grady was able to cut inside of where Truesdale's route was.
First and 10 at the 12-yard line. Handoff going to go to Gilmartin. Runs through a hole, 5, and he's going to be into the end zone for the touchdown. Matt Gilmartin, a 12-yard touchdown run, and Scranton Prep strikes first. It's 6-0.
Give a lot of credit to Scranton Prep for not using Gilmartin really at all on that drive. In the ground game, Middletown was expecting Ryan to keep that one on the read option. Instead, Gilmartin comes through, breaks through a tackle, squirts through an opening, and a 12-yard touchdown run.
Alec Butner is the kicker. He'll put the boot to it, and it is no good. He shanked it to the left.
All through practice, he was having trouble, the soccer-style kicker, pulling things to the left. Not a surprising miss.
But we'll take time. Now, 1:47 left to play in the first quarter. It is Scranton Prep 6, Middletown nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Jim Siebert's Garage, 1649 South Cameron Street next to Dairy Queen, has been serving customers in Harrisburg, Steelton, Highspire, Middletown, and surrounding areas for many years. And they'd like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Raiders football team on a great season. They'd also like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Wave Marching Band. Siebert's Garage, fulfilling all your automotive needs, inspection and emissions, even small engine repair, lawnmowers, and snowblowers. That's Jim Siebert's Garage. Go Raiders!
6-0 Scranton Prep on a nice drive, a short drive by the Cavaliers.
That comes after the interception that was made by Martin, by Ryan, and he leads the drive down the field. A couple of third down conversions helped set that one up. But for Middletown, the fact that offensively unable to get any going on their first three plays from scrimmage put them in a hole.
Here's the kick. It is a short kickoff. It's going to be taken at the 25-yard line. That is going to be Lopez trying to run it back, and he'll get to the 30-yard line.
Let's take a look at this Scranton Prep defense with Kyle Polishin, Max Borgia, Charles Farrell, Creek Cocodrilli, the defensive line. They all start offensively. The linebackers, Lucas Stage and Kyler McAllister, the outside backers. Braden Burrier, Ian Bolavich are the inside backers. Each of them has over 100 tackles on the season. Jake Grady, Jake Ryan, Tommy Doherty, your starting secondary for this Grant Prep team. They have no less than 7 guys that start both ways.
First and 10 for Middletown at their own 30-yard line. Raiders trailing 6-0 here late in the first quarter. Mills in motion. It's going to be a handoff to Fox up the middle. And he's going to be bounced inside and bounces forward to the 34-yard line for a gain of 4.
Does that nice job trying to find a hole, following the blocking. Right now, Scranton Prep's doing a nice job clogging things up in the middle, not allowing much.
4 receivers in there for middle, both sides. Snavely in the shotgun here on 2nd and 6 for Middletown at their own 34-yard line. Looks back over to the sideline for some instructions from Coach Myers. Takes the snap. Look at the throw quickly. Caught. Plummer. 40-yard line. First down of the game for Middletown as he's tackled at the 42.
Plummer has done such a great job at adjusting and increasing his role when Ryan Hughes got injured and has been out with a broken collarbone. Could return next week or the following week if the Raiders continue on, but Plummer's done a nice job at stepping up his game, getting more looks and more catches.
First down and 10, Middletown at their own 42. Handoff this time to Thompson. switches directions, heading to the outside, but can't get there. He's tackled after a gain of about four out to the 46.
There's still room there for Thompson. He just tried to duck to the outside. I think he needs to be a little bit more direct in this game, where he needs to get what he can up the field, because just like Middletown defensively, especially in this linebacker core for Scranton Prep, this is a very fast team. They pursue extremely well, and there aren't many places to cut back.
Snavely shotgun. Stetler switches over to the left side. They have slot to the right on second down and six. Handoff Thompson going to the left. Cuts back, and he's going to have the first down into Scranton Prep territory at the 45-yard line. And that should about be the end of the first quarter. We will wind the clock. Middletown will get to the line quickly, but not quick enough, as that will take us to the end of the first quarter. So we'll take timeout. Our score after one, it is Scranton Prep 6, Middletown nothing. Back with the second quarter after this on the Fager Finger Minor Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 would like to congratulate the Blue Raiders on a great season. The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown. For more information about joining the VFW Post 1620, you can call 944-3137 or check out VFWPost1620.com. Congratulations, Blue Raiders, from Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620.
Oh, we're here at Bethlehem School District Stadium, start of the second quarter. First down and 10 for Middletown at the 45-yard line of Scranton Prep. Handoff goes to Brady Fox, cuts back 40, and he's going to be down at the 38-yard line, a gain of 7 for Brady Fox.
And Middletown has now, on this second drive, gone back to their bread and butter, and that is following that strong offensive line up front. A few plays right up the gut, and the running backs trusting the offensive linemen, following those blocks, being more direct with things, and they're starting to gash this vaunted Scranton Prep defense.
Slot to both sides. Snavely in the shotgun. Leach comes in motion from right to left. So three receivers over that way. Snavely looking to throw, throwing deep, and it is going to be incomplete. Had a little too far in front for Plummer. It is incomplete. And Snavely has started this game now 1 for 3, 8 yards, and the pick earlier.
Scoring updates from around the area. Berks Catholic beats Shippensburg earlier today 37-13 in the District 3 4A championship. District 3 5A, Harrisburg leads Mannheim Central in the first quarter 7-6. And Steele High, late first quarter, has a 7-0 lead on Williams Valley.
And off to Brady Fox, runs up the middle, pushing forward. He's not going to get enough for the first down, as it's going to be fourth down and about a yard at the 36-yard line of Scranton Prep.
Well, we haven't seen the Raiders back down much this season on fourth down, have we?
Definitely not.
They don't like to punt that much. If it's close, they think they can get it. They're going to go for it. And they do it without hesitation. Brett Meyer sends Snavely back over and tells him to play the run.
You got a hard-nosed running back in Fox and a quarterback who can sneak because he's big.
Snavely under center. This is the formation they like to sneak it in, and they will just push Snavely through and gets the first down to the 34-yard line. They got two. Only needed one and a first down for Middletown.
And, of course, we had fans talking to us before the game, Brian, about last week, and they were upset with the penalty that happened when he got pushed from behind.
It didn't happen here, but I don't know that he got that center snap clean because it looked like he double-clutched at it afterwards, but was able to because of all of the compression. That ball got squeezed up into his arms anyways, and he picks it up.
The first and 10 for Middletown at the Scranton Prep 34, 6-0 Scranton Prep here early in the second quarter. Snavely, play fake, looking to throw deep down the middle, and he's going to overthrow everyone. Good thing, because Noon was double covered down the middle.
And I'm surprised they're trying to take these shots right now down the field, John, just because what we've seen Scranton Prep do on this drive defensively has been getting bowled over by the Middletown offensive line when it's mano a mano up front. They're trying to throw the ball down the field, and that actually plays in the hands of the Cavaliers, I think.
Double slot. That's everybody in tight, though, and Leach is going to get the give from the wing position. 30, and knocked out of bounds around the 26-yard line. He's going to be close to a first down. It's going to be second, or rather third and two.
And this is where they like running everyone to one side. Just give them the guns. Give him the horses, let him run, and Leach coming from the opposite side to the near side of the field, able to get a nice substantial gain.
No question, speed advantage for Middletown, 2-2 on the flanks.
Third down and two at the 26 of Scranton Prep. Leach in motion again, same play, and he's hit in the backfield, but manages to keep his balance and dives forward for the first down to the 23.
I'm surprised there was no face mask in there, because the first guy that touched him back there got the hand on the mask.
Craig Cocodrilli was the guy who should have made the tackle, whether it was the mask or not. A lot of credit to Trey Leach. Leach, one of the toughest kids you're going to find out there, pound for pound, just forcing his way forward.
Slot right. Wide left is Mills. First and 10, Middletown at the Prep 23-yard line, and now we have a timeout. We'll take one as well. 9:49 left to play in the second quarter. Scranton Prep 6, Middletown nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbeiner, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory, keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbeiner, not just another funeral home.
Welcome back to Bethlehem School District Stadium, Frank Banco Field, whatever you want to call it. First down and 10 here for Middletown at the Scranton Prep 23-yard line.
Oh, I recall the first game of the season. Raiders down were 7-0 in that game against LD in the first quarter, and he just struggled early on and then took it to him the rest of the way.
Slot right, and we're going to have a penalty against Middletown. Trey Leach stepped off the line of scrimmage a step too early.
And that's tough because it was right out of a timeout. So that's an unforced error that, for a moment, stymies Middletown's drive, by far their best of the two drives they've had going in this contest. But I think this Middletown offensive line is starting to take hold a little bit in this game.
First down and 15 now back at the 28-yard line. Slot to the right. Wide left is Lopez. Actually, it's a slot to the left side, as Mills is out there as well. Leach comes in motion from right to left, crosses the formation. Snavely takes the snap, looking down the middle, and it is caught. That is
Plummer.
Yeah, it's Plummer again inside the 15, down to the 12-yard line.
Boy, that's a great route, too, run by Chris Plummer, as he sort of moved to the outside, cut right across the middle, and got position on the safety who was trying to cover down the middle of the field, and that one being Daugherty.
First and 10 at the 12-yard line for Middletown. Snavely takes the snap, throws it over into the flat. They're set up the flanker screen. It's caught and inside the 10-yard line and down to the 8. That was Leach.
They had been setting that play up for a few plays where they've been faking having that pass available to them. Now they throw it out there. Good coverage by Scranton Prep, shutting that down quickly.
So second and 6 at the 8-yard line. Three receivers, a wing and two receivers to the right. Now Leach comes over across to the left side. Snavely, handoff. That is Fox. Cuts back at the 5, finds some room, and dives forward. He's going to be tackled just short of the end zone. It'll be first and goal for Middletown inside the 1-yard line.
You don't want to bounce when you're around the goal line, and that's exactly what Brady Fox did not do. He took that ball straight up the gut, forced his way forward, and went direct. The way Middletown is running the football in this second drive is the way they have to continue doing this. Don't worry about the bounce out lane against a team that's trying to outflank you. Take it direct, take it powerful. They're a yard away from tying it.
Well, this is where they like to just push in and let Snavely do it himself. First and goal at the 1. Hand off, and Snavely did not get that clean, but he's trying to back in.
He's in.
And he gets in for the touchdown.
They never stopped. They kept driving. Credit to the offensive line for keeping on going after the initial surge. Great response drive from the Middletown Blue Raiders. And now with a made extra point, they can take the lead.
8:27 to go in the second quarter. It's 6-6. Extra point pending here for Middletown. And Snavely did not get that ball cleanly, and he was actually turned around backwards and went in backwards.
He went in backwards, but that's that offensive line. That right side just kept moving and pushing. Radabaugh was one of the guys at right guard.
Snap, hold, kick, up, good. Middletown has the lead. We'll take timeout. 8:27 left to play in the first half. It's Middletown 7, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Faker Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Welcome back, Bethlehem Area School District Stadium. 15-play drive for Middletown, went 70 yards, 5 and 14 seconds. And just what the doctor ordered for the Blue Raiders is they have the lead 7-6 because Donovan Brady made the extra point.
Heck of a response drive from Middletown. Now the defense will see if they can get some field position here and try to get a quick stop, maybe build on this momentum.
Kickoff is going to go to Giannone at the 7-yard line. Brings out across the 20-yard line, and he is going to be tackled, actually mostly from the contact with Ian Balavage.
That's Chris Plummer, who's been a real factor in this game. There he does a great job on the coverage team, just forcing his way forward. Also, LaRon Woody was over there as well, getting some penetration. That's why Balavage ends up going backwards into his return man.
So Scranton Prep has the football at their own 25-yard line. They've had the lion's share of the possession here in the first half so far. Slot to the left, wide right. Ryan in the gun with Gil Martin beside him. It's going to be a handoff, Gil Martin, and he's going to be tackled after a short gain on the play out to the 28. Give him 3. It'll be 2nd and 7.
Well, he said already that I've said already that Gil Martin, while being a good running back, I don't know that this is where Scranton Prep's going to have to win this game. I don't think they have the advantage that they're used to having up front. So that means that Jake Ryan is going to have to throw the football effectively in this game for Scranton Prep. Don't be surprised to see him do a lot more throwing on first down opportunities.
Slot left, wide right. Play fake. Ryan looking to keep and run, and he's going to get hit at the 30 and tackled forward to the 34-yard line, just short of the first down. It'll be 3rd and 1.
And that's that zone read, which they had taken Gil Martin out of the game on the play. They faked it to the backup running back, and then Ryan taking it to the outside. Middletown was too far in, but still recovered well enough to stop him short.
And they're going to line up in the power eye again, and quick snap, and Ryan gets hit at the line of scrimmage. Did he corkscrew forward for it? I don't know.
Newton got tremendous penetration on the play and may have stopped it.
It's going to be close. The ball is short of the 35-yard line.
That being said, I think you have to go for it here on fourth down. They are keeping the offense in. Ryan, though, is their punter technically, but I don't expect him to punt it here.
That was going to be fourth down in inches.
Should be the same play unless they don't think they can beat Middletown to the spot.
They might be taking a timeout. They will be taking a timeout because the official just put his hand up. So timeout taken by Scranton Prep. We'll take one as well. 6:26 left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 7, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Faker Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Well, a big moment in this game early on here with 6:26 left to play in the second quarter. Middletown leading Scranton Prep 7-6. Scranton Prep has a fourth and inches at their own 35-yard line, and it looks like the offense is going to line up here and go for it.
If you can't make inches, I think the idea from Coach Gallagher on the opposite side is you don't deserve to win.
Ryan under center, power eye backfield. He will try to push forward. Middletown stands him up. I don't know.
And there's what we were talking about with last week's game, Brian. He had everyone behind him pushing him forward. Middletown stood him up. Didn't give it, well, they give him the forward progress. Hard to say, but he had everyone pushing him behind. They're going to give him the first down. A call. Middletown got called against it for a touchdown last week.
And that's why the fans are upset about it,
yes,
because they saw exactly what got called against them. It's a rarely called thing that got called a week ago. Didn't get called here.
Side left, wide right, man in motion over to the right side. Handoff goes to Gil Martin, and he is going to be in trouble. He's going down, loss of four on the play. Good pressure by the Middletown defenders. Ron Woody, one of the guys in there for the Blue Raiders, as well as Ethan Newton.
And this defense likes to feed off of frustration sometimes,
yeah,
and it raises them up. They get madder and angry.
And that's where now in the secondary they have to protect against that. They've got to be fundamentally sound because the run defense has been outstanding the last couple series.
Two left, one right. Make it two right, one left as Grady goes in motion. Ryan, play fake. Steps up in the pocket, has some room to run, 35, 40, and he's headed to the sideline and knocked out at the 46-yard line. That is going to be a first down, a 15-yard run for Ryan, the quarterback.
Now look at the arguing from the coaches yelling, and especially the fans seeing Ryan Grady on the near side with a little bit of a hold, just a second or two, but it was enough that everyone here saw it.
He's right at the point of attack, and it prevented Jonah McCoy from being able to make his pursuit of the play quicker. Nothing called. Drive continues, but Middletown, because of the pressure, they over-pursued, and there was no linebacker coverage behind on that second level.
Three receivers out to the left. Nobody in the backfield here for Ryan. It's going to be a throwback pass. It's too far over the head. It's a live ball. It should be out of bounds back at the 40-yard line. It is.
And that was going to be a trick play. Earlier this season against North Pocono, I believe it was, Lucas Stage, the wide receiver on that side, threw a 45-yard touchdown pass. They were looking deep on the play because that was a lateral that they were going to throw down the field. It gets blown up because Ryan airmailed it. That was a trick play, though.
Second down and 16 as the ball, again, is marked where it went out of bounds because Ryan airmailed that one.
And the referees knew it because trick plays, they talked to the referees before the game, so they are aware that was coming.
Side left, wide right, Grady comes in motion over to the right side on second and 16. Ryan back to pass, will throw across the middle, and Grady is buried as soon as he makes the catch.
When you run a crossing route, it is your job as a quarterback to make sure that your receivers are not in harm's way. He never saw Blake Jacobian coverage, and he cleaned him up.
Yeah, we use that word tattoo so often this season, Steve. That one right there was the Blake Jacoby tattoo.
Textbook tackle.
As soon as he caught it, it was a flat.
Third down and 13, slot left, wide right. Ryan again sends Grady in motion. Late snap, and the center and everybody else was not on the same page. So this is going to be 5 yards against the Cavaliers.
Dom Giacobbe, the senior center, was delayed on that one. Technically, you cannot call offside on a center not snapping the ball. So it is everyone but the center. I've heard that this week in an NFL game where they called everyone but the center was offside. That was the case here.
We welcome those of you along listening. We have two streams on WMSSFM.com. I know we had some confusion here. Some folks were on the alternate stream, and all of a sudden the Harrisburg Heat game came on. So make sure you're on the main stream, folks. That is where the game is on the internet.
Third down and 18. Ryan, back to pass. Steps up. Now he throws deep. Nobody is on Grady. Makes the catch at the 38-yard line of Middletown. That is a breakdown in coverage, and a late flag is thrown as well.
It's Tyer Mills with the late hit. It's the proper call. Grady had already stepped out of bounds and actually had taken another couple steps down the field. Whistle had blown. Mills frustrated because he's the guy who missed the coverage. That was a play where there was a receiver on the inside going deep, and Grady sort of ran behind that play on an out and up, and Mills never saw him come. He had the responsibility on the outside and just flat out missed him.
He slipped a little bit too out there. I noticed when he noticed and he slipped and couldn't get over there quick enough.
It's a big call. It's the right call, though. Fans not happy about it, but he was definitely out of bounds, and the whistle had blown.
So Scranton Prep gets the football down to the Middletown 25-yard line after the 22-yard pass play, and the 15-yard penalty is tacked on. Slot left, wide right, and a motion over to the left, so three receivers that way for Ryan. It's going to be a handoff. Gilmartin, he's deep in the backfield, and he is going to be cleaned up back there. A loss of about four on the play. There's a penalty flag as well. It's probably going to be a hold, and that's going to be 4 yards deep in the backfield. We'll see what the Raiders elect to do here. Probably take the penalty since it's going to be a loss of 14.
That's the key. If it's a spot foul, you take the penalty. If it was not a spot foul, you decline it because they lost 4 yards. But this vaunted Scranton Prep line right now is being dominated over this series of downs. Just the passing game that has them moving the football, but running the ball on first down, predictable plays, Middletown's all over it.
We mentioned Mills came out after that mistake just a few moments ago. Jalen Thompson went out there in his place, one play. He got talked to by the coach. Heads up, he's back out there now.
Now first and 24 for Scranton Prep, back at their own, or back in the Middletown 39-yard line. Ryan looking to throw, middle screen, and again it is Grady, and he got hammered again by Jacoby.
That is a tremendous read, and actually,
Rattleball. It looked like he ran into a brick wall. He just hit him and went flat.
And that's film work right there, guys.
Yeah.
That's film work, because that's a play that you have certain tendencies for a defensive lineman to recognize what's coming and peel off as that ball's thrown. Rattleball, great work off the field to make the tackle on it.
So now that was a loss of one. Second down and 25 at the 40 of Middletown for Scranton Prep. In a motion to the left side, they have a slot to the right. Ryan takes the snap, and this play is blown dead, and it's going to be delay.
Yeah.
Well, the drive was working out fine for them. Now, even though he's missed an extra point, Alec Butner, because we have to look at this now, where they're going on this drive, he does have a deep leg. If he kicks the ball straight, he was making field goals from about 40 yards away. So thinking about it that way for Scranton Prep, because on second and 30, they're a long way away, but they're about 15 yards away from potential field goal range.
So I left wide right, second and 30, back at the 45-yard line now. Play fake. Ryan will throw, and it is going to be incomplete. He threw it short of the intended receiver, Jake Grady, who had found some room over there on the left side, but incomplete. Will be third and 30.
Woody was, again, off his man a little bit. We're seeing some lapses in the secondary right now, missing the man or just staying off a little bit too far. Granted, they had two receivers over there very close to each other, but that shouldn't have been any confusion to have the players off them so far.
Poorly thrown ball. Otherwise, it's a big catch.
Yes.
Third down and 30.
Look for a screen or something here. I don't see them lofting the ball 30 yards down the field. Just right. Not their M.O.
Wide out to either side. Grady goes in motion to the left side. Time out is going to be taken by Middletown. Brett Myers saw something he did not like. We'll take time out as well. 2:45 left to play in the first half. Is Middletown 7, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Fager Fink and Binder Funeral Home and Bouvier Sports Network.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
.245 left to play in the second quarter. Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser here. Middletown 7, Scranton Prep 6. Scranton Prep with the football in Middletown territory at the 45-yard line, but face a third down and 30.
And obviously Coach Myers did not like something that was going on defensively on that play, wanted to at least make sure on third down and 30 that he had his team on the right page.
By the way, coming up at halftime, we'll be talking to Brian Biesecker from the 88 team.
Three receivers left, two to the right. Empty backfield for Ryan. He'll take the snap. Has time in the pocket. Will throw deep across the middle. It is dropped. Grady dropped it. Flat dropped it at the 25-yard line. He was open, but he couldn't hold on to it.
Two scary things here, Brian. Plenty of time in the pocket, not enough pressure, and wide open in the middle of coverage.
He was wide open in the middle of coverage, but let's remember, it was third down and 30. Middletown did not send anyone but the front line. They were max coverage down the field. Even if he catches that ball, if Middletown tackles him where he was, where they were close enough to do so, it wouldn't have been a first down. They would have been close enough to try to attempt the field goal, though.
It's going to be a punting situation. Ryan, the quarterback, is also the punter. Mills is back inside the 10-yard line to receive, and that is almost blocked. Mills runs under it, catches it, 10-yard line. Headed to the left sideline now, tries to switch directions, slips a tackle at the 15, at the 20, headed to the sideline, 30. Going to get a block. It's legal. There's no flags. He is gone down the sideline. Tyre Mills, 90 yards. Punt return, touchdown. 13-6 Raiders.
Maybe the most electric punt return we've seen in a long time. Tyre Mills coming to the near side, had nothing at all, and then just tippy-toed his way back, kept himself alive, turned it up the field. Nobody else blocking-wise gave up on the play, and Mills made it work because he explodes for the 90-yard kick return.
And initially he thought he had the speed to get around to the near side of the 10 and realized they were cutting him off. And went back the other way, realized he was cut off, and then just kind of wigged-wagged in between a few players. And once he got through them, that was it. Man.
That is as awesome a punt return for a touchdown as you are going to see in a state playoff game. What a phenomenal run by Tyre Mills.
The extra point here for Middletown. Snap, hold, kick by Brady is on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout. 2:17 up to play in the first half. It's Middletown 14, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Through 17 up to play in the first half, and an electric 90-yard punt return by Tyre Mills puts Middletown up by 8 here. It's 14-6. Middletown over Scranton Prep.
And a huge play in terms of momentum, too, because Scranton Prep had the big pass play, and all of a sudden they went backwards on that drive, had to punt the football. But as long as they are able to get a stop on Middletown, they go in the locker room only down 7-6. Now, all of a sudden, they almost feel like, because Middletown gets a second-half kickoff, I think they almost feel at this point they have to score on their drive coming up to make this a game again.
All season, Mills has been electric out there. All season, his punt returns, you knew, had a chance to be returned to the end zone. No different here.
He only had one in the first 12 games that were legally returned for a touchdown. He probably was in the end zone about five times. Kickoff will be taken by Giannone at the 10-yard line. He slips down the sideline, and he'll finally be tackled out across the 40-yard line. So it's going to be a decent field position here for the Cavaliers. They're going to mark him out at the 43.
Quickly, some updated scores from around the state playoffs and district playoffs. Steele High, midway through the second quarter, they lead Williams Valley in a single-A state quarterfinal game by a score of 10-8. And Harrisburg is rolling right now on Mannheim Central. That Harrisburg Cougars all-star team that they've put together up 21-6 and driving again.
First and 10 here for Scranton Prep. Slot left, wide right. Now that guy in motion, so three receivers to the left side. Ryan takes the snap. We'll go set up the middle screen, and again it's going to be hammered as Cocodrilli gets it and stopped immediately for a gain of three.
And Truesdale and There goes Woody. Both in there making him pay. They're catching on now to that middle screen. They're starting to know how many to send in, how many to leave out, how to read it quickly, and those, where to place himself.
Those crossing routes are being very well defensed. It's the outside of the field that Middletown has to be a lot more careful about.
Two receivers left, one right. That is Dory, and he'll head in motion, but Ryan will take the snap, and it is going to be tipped, and it's intercepted. It's picked off, and returning it is Blake Jacoby. Five, touchdown. Blake Jacoby, the interception return for the touchdown. He tipped it and grabbed it and was off to the races, and it is 20-6 Middletown.
Just got the hands up on that left side of the defensive line, somehow got a piece of it, came down, the ball landed, he pulled it in, and that was it, off to the races.
It all comes from tendencies where this team likes to throw the ball out in the flats. Jacoby was there, had the hand up, recognizing that that dump off to the flat was coming. And as he did, that makes the athletic play and turns it in to another 6 points.
And how often, Brian, in practice do you hear coaches yelling at the guys down by
get
the line?
Get your hands up.
Hands up
all the time.
Yep. Extra point, snap, the hold, the kick is up, and it is no good. It is missed to the right side. But we'll take timeout. 1:25 left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 20, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Well, it is 20-6 Middletown over Scranton Prep. 1:25 left to play in the first half. And you got offense, you got defense, you got special teams. All three good for a touchdown for Middletown here in the first half.
Hey, we want to give another shout out to some of our listeners out there on the Blue Raider Sports Network, some Middletowners listening tonight, our good friend Bob Bittner. Bob just out of the hospital. He's over at Fry Village. He was a three-sport letter winner back in the late 40s. Football, basketball, and baseball for Middletown, and also played at Gettysburg College. So, Bob Bittner, hope you get well. Glad you're listening in and enjoying this one here on WMSS.
How can you not be enjoying it right now if you're a Middletown fan? Because the Blue Raiders, after falling behind early, have exploded here in the second quarter.
Brady to kick off for Middletown with 1:25 to go in the half. Ball bounces at the 20-yard line, taken by one of the up men. That is going to be Burrier, and he will be buried at the 32-yard line. Oh, we've got some extracurricular activities. As
oh, it was a late block there at the very end by
Belavage.
Belavage. And Brett Myers saying, hey, look, our guy didn't retaliate. He kind of threw him down after the play was well whistled dead, and you're not throwing a flag, really? So, well, Woody in there on that tackle.
As long as Middletown keeps their heads, all you got to do is look at the scoreboard. That's the ultimate bottom line for any sort of behavior issues.
First down and 10, Scranton Prep at their own 32-yard line. Slot left, eye backfield this time. Gil Martin is the deep guy. He'll get the give going right up the middle, and he's going to get a couple yards, but Middletown will give him that. Out to the 36, a gain of 4, and the clock will continue to run.
And how big this Middletown defense rising up without Bobby Graham, who is certainly a monster cog in the wheel for this team, but yet he's out for this one. Newton goes in, takes the place. Just shows how deep this team has been on all positions.
How important, though, is it, John, that this Middletown team does not have many players on the defensive front that go both ways? It really makes them a lot more aggressive, and this second quarter has shown it.
Slot left eye backfield again. It's Gil Martin trying to bounce it to the outside, get some room, and 45, and going to be tackled at midfield. That is a gain of 14 yards. And a first down, stop the clock momentarily with 37 seconds left.
Good running. Truesdale had him right on the end of the left side. Kind of dove down again. A little stiff arm push down. He couldn't get the arms out long enough to grab onto the legs.
Two timeouts left here for Scranton Prep, but Terry Gallagher not using them here. Just
shell-shocked, I think.
Yeah.
High backfield, slot left from midfield, handoff. Again, that is going to be Gil Martin, and he is going to be drugged down by Hunter
and Landis got him low on the legs, this time able to hold on. But I'm shocked that they didn't call timeout. I'm shocked that he's not trying to get up the field.
All I'm telling you, they are shell-shocked because of what's happened in this game so far. It actually harkens back to their game that they lost this year against Abington Heights, a game where Scranton Prep actually had dominated that game except for one stretch of play in the second quarter where they gave up a big touchdown pass, a big touchdown run, and a pick six. And this has been kind of similar. They've given up a long touchdown drive, a punt return for a touchdown, and a pick six. So big plays and a big drive for Middletown have led them to this same sort of advantage. And I just think they're shocked. I think it's a mistake. I think you're right because they don't get the second half kickoff. And the fact that they haven't called timeout maybe shows at this point that Scranton Prep is not accustomed to be in this situation.
All right, Dan Magaro is down there on the WMSS 91.1 FM Facebook, and he's got some highlights for you folks if you want to check it out on our Facebook page.
Going right now.
15 seconds left in the half. Out of the timeout by Scranton Prep here. Second and 10 from midfield. Two receivers to the left side. They're going to throw it. Ryan going to look for the pass across the middle. Bounces off of the helmet of Truesdale, but it's incomplete.
Ouch is the next word you want to use. Four letters. Was getting that ball, and Truesdale was just setting him right up. He was right there, ready to nail him.
Right. The crossing routes that they keep running and throwing are right into the teeth of this Middletown defense. I am shocked right now that a guy like Jake Ryan, as intelligent as he usually is throwing the football, this obviously was the game plan against this Middletown team coming in. They need to change it at halftime.
Yeah.
Slot left, wide right, third down and 10 from midfield here. 11 seconds left in the half. Middletown leads 20-6. It's going to be a handoff. That's Gil Martin looking for the sideline. He's got room, 35, and he's going to be cut down at the 30-yard line. And it's going to be a first down and a timeout. After the gain of 20, so they'll have at least a shot at it here with 4 seconds left in the half.
They technically could try a field goal, but I don't think it helps them here. One thing they do not have a lot of, they don't have a lot of size at receiver. They've got a tall tight end in Cocodrilli at 6'2". Outside of that, all their receivers they use are pretty small, except for maybe Lucas Stage, who is a very seldom used receiver out there unless it's a trick play. So they are bringing out the kicker. Butner is coming out. I'm going to tell you, he might have the leg to do this. It's on the correct hash for him to do this if he's going to. I just don't know what it gains them.
Yeah, there's no wind whatsoever.
No.
There's no breeze. This is going to be like a 47-yard attempt.
No advantage at all. Was down there pregame, and neither team, I mean, the ball carries nicely, but this is right on the border of his range.
Yeah.
What I saw at half, down in warmups.
So Alec Butner from 47 yards out from the right hash mark.
And he was also kicking them low. If Middletown can get a push, maybe get a block.
Out of the hold of Jake Grady. There's the snap. The hold is down. The kick is short. It is just short and no good at the buzzer. So we have reached halftime. Our score at halftime, it is Middletown 20, Scranton Prep 6. Stay tuned for the halftime show coming up after this on the Fager Finkelbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Welcome back to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We're at halftime. Middletown leading 20-6 on Scranton Prep. John Wills back with you at halftime alongside Brian Kaiser and some guests here at halftime making their way up to the press box. We've been having a lot of guests here in the playoffs. It's been fantastic. And I want to bring back one of the Middletown alumni and former Middletown football player from the 88 team, Brian Biesecker.
How you doing, John?
Welcome back. Have you been catching many of the games this season?
Actually, I just started following it a little bit halfway through the season and getting excited like everybody else. It's pretty special, pretty special group. And last couple of weeks, I made it up to the game because I live like an hour or so away. So it's been pretty fun.
Well, here you are at the dreaded Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The memories come back and haunt you?
Bad memories, yep. But good memories, too. I mean, we had a pretty special team as well that year. And hopefully these guys can make us proud tonight. So far, so good.
How long did it take you, or have you ever watched that footage of that game afterwards? Because I know there are some guys on that team who have never watched that footage.
Yeah, I actually have that game that I got burned onto a DVD, and I still watch it, and I just watched some clips on YouTube the other day, and it still hurts a little bit, but, you know, we get over it after 20-some years.
You know, I don't think a lot of people realize they can go to YouTube, type in Middletown versus Berwick or Berwick versus Middletown football game from 1988. You can watch that game. It was Channel 16 that televised it that season, and from they were either from Scranton or Allentown, wherever they were from.
Right. Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre, thank you. Yeah, so yes, fans, you can someday when you're blizzard in or something like that, just break out the old memories. But what do you recall most from that game? Because that was just a hard-fought game. You guys went at halftime, knew you were in a battle.
Yeah, that game was a tough game. You know, I don't think we saw a competition like that all year, really. And they were a pretty special team at Berwick. Yeah.
And they didn't either.
No. And just all the memories, all the guys. I mean, seeing guys now here tonight that have, you know, kids playing on the team and stuff. It's pretty special. And my biggest memory was just the family part of it and the camaraderie. And these guys are all seeing it now, and everybody's seeing it here with all the people that are in the stands from Middletown. It's pretty special that all these people are here filling Hershey last week and filling this stadium tonight, and you look across and you see 200 people.
Not a lot.
It's pretty bad.
Just a few hundred.
Now, you were a captain on that team. How special is that bond with a team when you are the captain? You are looked at as one of those leaders out there, and how important is it for you mentally just to stay focused and really poised the entire time you're out there?
No, it's obviously a privilege to be a captain of the team. You're elected by your peers, and it's important for, you know, a game like this, man. It's important for everybody to stay focused the whole time, and that, you know, obviously that's a captain's job to help keep up everybody focused, and hopefully they'll continue to do that tonight here.
But not to take anything away from that team, get rid of the Berwick thought, you guys annihilated Mannheim Central in the district championship. That had to be fun.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Yeah, it was good stuff. I mean, like I said, we pretty much had a clean run, and we're beating up mostly everybody, and just like these guys are doing. And you know, it's nice to see them face a little adversity here in the beginning, and answer the bell. Mm-hmm. And they have. They've answered the bell so far.
Do you see any similarities out of this team to you guys, or is it completely different?
They're pretty big up front like we were, but they're athletic. Yeah. This team's pretty special from what I've seen of them so far. They, mm-hmm. You know, I had this discussion with someone a little while ago about the 88 team against this team, you know, and it's always great to do that comparison and stuff, but they're pretty darn good, man. I mean, we had some great special players like Chad Durr, you know, who did some amazing things, and So I have to give him a little.
Oh, yeah, the late Chad Durant.
Chad Durant was a special player, special athlete. You know, he quarterback and a nose guard. How many guys in high school play those two positions at the same time? Scott Eberle was real special. And
Dagan.
Dagan had some amazing plays in that Berwick game. And, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
And Coach Souders was, you know, a special player. And it was a lot of fun memories.
Which of the players from this year's team that you've seen so far would have been the most difficult one for you guys to be able to match up with?
The Mills kid that just took actually the punt return. I mean, pretty special athlete to do that. I mean, I'm over there in the stands yelling, just let it go into the end zone, let it go, and he catches it. I'm like, no, let it go, and then he's gone.
Yeah, he didn't listen to anyone all season. No, take it anywhere. Yeah,
and that's okay.
Catch it on the one and run it.
Yeah, you can do that. That's okay. But yeah, there's quite a few of them. I mean, you know, Coach Myers just keeps ushering them in and out.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot of weapons to go to, which is pretty for him. It's a pretty nice luxury.
We had Coach Etsy with us last week, yep. And do you keep in touch at all with Coach?
A little bit. Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit. Him and Coach Schatz last week, and it's cool. It's so cool seeing a lot of, you know, Coach Skies, and see a lot of the other old players that are back from, you know. Saw Rush Trohacker tonight from you know, living in New Hampshire. Saw him and a couple other guys. It's pretty neat. Everybody's coming back. And
he even brought Todd Kleinfelder up here with him. Yeah.
We made an hour and 10 minute drive or so from the Philadelphia area where we both are living, and pretty cool.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Spending some memories with us from yesteryear and the game here. And hopefully this team can keep getting it done and get that revenge back for you guys from 88.
I hope so. I'm going to keep following them.
All right. Hey, Brian Biesecker.
Thanks, Brian.
Captain of the 88 team here with us at halftime. Middletown leading 20-6 on Scranton Prep. Steve's got your halftime stats. Brian's got more scores when we come back on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of Remax Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and Remax Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser and Remax Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up homestyle meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363 or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
Welcome back. We are at Frank Banco Field here behind Bethlehem Liberty High School, and Middletown leads Scranton Prep here at the half by a score of 20-6.
And it's been a great first half for the Blue Raiders. You know, they've scored on a 15-play drive, on a punt return, and an interception. And Steve has our statistical wrap-up of the first half.
All right, first we will look at Scranton Prep. And really, they have the lion's share of the offense in this game, because they've had the ball most of the time. Mac Dale Martin, the leading rusher, 11 carries for 52 yards. Jake Ryan has 7 keepers for 26 yards. Tommy Doherty ran at one time for a loss of 3. Receiving, Jake Grady, 5 catches, 57 yards. Matt Dale Martin, 3 for 63. Sam Dixon, 1 for 4. Cree Cocodrilli, 1 for 3. Jake Ryan in the first half was 10 of 16 for 127 yards, and he threw that one interception that was returned for a touchdown. Team totals for Scranton Prep in the first half, 19 carries, 75 yards on the ground, 127 through the air. 202 yards of total offense for Scranton Prep in half number one. For Middletown, there's actually not much on the sheet here. Brady Fox, 24 yards. Jalen Thompson, 3 for 15. Trey Leach, 2 for 11. Two carries for 3 yards. He has the touchdown run for Middletown. Chris Plummer, 2 catches, 24 yards. Trey Leach, 1 for 4. Chase Navely, 3 for 6, 28 yards. And he did throw an interception there in the first quarter. Team totals for Middletown on the ground, 12 carries, 53 yards, 28 yards passing. Just 81 yards of offense for Middletown in the first half. Now, the reason why it's that way. Middletown ran 18 plays in the first half. They had a 15-play scoring drive, and they went three and out on their very first possession. Here's the scoring recap. First, Scranton Prep got on the board first after a good opening drive, took it all the way down to the three-yard line where they were stopped on fourth and goal from the three. Middletown got it back and went three and out on a third-down interception thrown by Snavely, but then it was a short field for Prep, and they were able to take it down, and Matt Gilmartin scored on a 12-yard touchdown run. The kick was pulled to the left, and it was 6-0 Scranton Prep near the end of the first quarter. Then Middletown responded with a nice long drive of their own, 15-play, 70-yard drive, took 5 minutes and 14 seconds off the clock, and with 8:27 to play in the half, Chase Navely went in from 1 yard out, and then the extra point put Middletown in front 7-6, and it stayed that way until with 2:17 left in the half, after the Scranton Prep drive stalled around midfield, Tyre Mills, 90-yard punt return for a touchdown, extra point made it 14-6, and then just 52 seconds later, Scranton Prep with the football around their own 40-yard line, and they were trying to get it out into the flats, and Blake Jacoby tipped it up and caught it himself and returned the interception for a 40-yard pick six, and the extra point was no good, and that gives us our score here at halftime. Middletown 20, Scranton Prep 6. The Raiders get the ball to start the second half.
And that's a big advantage for the Blue Raiders also, because now if Middletown can take the ball in the second half and score, it puts Scranton Prep in all sorts of difficulty. To that point, because he is a bit of a risk taker, I wouldn't even be surprised to see Scranton Prep come out. And if they see something and they feel that they have a chance, I wouldn't be surprised to see them even come out, surprise onside kick to even start the second half. Just throwing that out there as a possibility.
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility.
And let's take a look at some scores around the area. We go to the District 3 4A championship game, Berks Catholic, earlier this afternoon. A 37-13 victory over Shippensburg. It was the 1 over the 2 seed. Shippensburg there, in virtue of a shocking win a week ago, go against McDevitt, could not repeat things against Berks Catholic, who moves on to the semifinals of the state tournament with that win. In the District 3 5A championship game, Harrisburg is routing Mannheim Central right now, 34-13. Ymir Wilkerson in the first half, the last time I checked, had thrown three passes. All three of them went for touchdowns. The Harrisburg All-Star team continues to get it done. Oh, they score again?
Well, it's 6 for 12, 269 yards, the unofficial numbers we're looking at.
His numbers went down because he threw three passes that were not touchdowns.
Four touchdowns.
Four now. Okay. So he is lighting up Mannheim Central, and that is a very good Mannheim Central team, folks. Look out, whoever gets them next, and good luck to you. Cumberland Valley Wilson's going to be tomorrow. That's the District 3 6A championship game. Single A state quarterfinal matchup. Steele High leading Williams Valley right now by a score of 17-8. Yes, folks, that's the 5-7 Steele High Rollers, who have a chance to move to 6-7 on the year with a victory in that game. They have a 9-point lead in the half of that one. A game that affects the teams potentially in this game, and that is going on out west. This is a first half score. Central Martinsburg, a 7-0 lead over the Gremlins of Carn City. And that is a AAA state quarterfinal matchup. Winner of that game will play next week against Beaver Falls, the Whitfield champion of AAA, who incidentally had a bye this week because of how everything is set up. And the other game, the winner of this game here tonight, will play against the Delaware Valley Charter Notre Dame Green Pond game winner. That game taking place tomorrow. And for those Middletown folks who want to make a day of it, you can just stay right here overnight if you wanted to. Come right back to the stadium. And it's a 1 p.m. kick time from here. Delaware Valley Charter, Notre Dame, Green Pond. That is if Middletown can hold on in the second half to win this one. Other games of note going on: North Penn all over Garnet Valley, 28-7. Springfield Delco Academy Park is a 9-8 game right now. Archbishop Wood blowing out Whitehall, 28-7. It is West Allegheny with a 27-7 lead on Meadville. Bishop Guilfoyle shutting out Homer Center, 21-0. I think that would be Steele High's next opponent, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not.
I think it's Guilfoyle.
Yeah, and that would be Guilfoyle, who is one of the top teams every single year. Imhotep Charter being held down by North Pocono right now. That's a 12-7 game as we speak. Farrell up on Ridgeway, 14-0. Cathedral Prep has a lead on Thomas Jefferson and their whining head coach, who was complaining about having to play the private schools because I guess he was worried about losing to them, and it's coming to fruition. So now in the first half, and Ligonier Valley has a 10-7 advantage on Dunmore. All the other games going on in the state of Pennsylvania in the playoffs are tomorrow.
All right, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, we will have the second half kickoff. And again, Middletown to receive. Our score here at halftime, it is Middletown 20, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Welcome back. We are at Bethlehem Area School District Stadium. Again, this stadium used by Bethlehem Liberty, Bethlehem Freedom, and also Bethlehem Catholic. Middletown leading Scranton Prep here 20-6 in a PIAA Class AAA quarterfinal game. Again, the winner of this game takes on Notre Dame Green Pond or Delaware Valley Charter, who play here tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So Scranton Prep will kick off, and Brian alluded to it a little earlier here. You know, he's got to be a little weary of a surprise onside kick here, down by 14.
You got a 32-year-old head coach who has, with trick plays, tended to be a little bit of a riverboat gambler from time to time. Just saying they should be alert. That's all.
Guys, I went down to the stands just for a little bit. Former head coach Dennis Etze, who we had on last week, was down there. And went down with some of the guys, Brian Keating down there, a few others. And there's a lot of Middletown alumni in these stands tonight, a lot of former football players. They're loving it. They're like, man, just the plays that are being made in this game. Awesome.
Here's Butner to kick it off. We'll see if it's a legit kick off. It's just going to be a pooch kick. It's going to bounce at the 25-yard line. Mills has to run back for it, picks it up at the 18. Slips a couple tackles, still on his feet. He's going to be thrown down at the 24-yard line. So the Raiders will get it only for the third time on offense in this ball game.
Yet up 20-6, and with this offensive line who has not gotten to play a lot outside of that 15-play drive that they had on the second touchdown drive, this is a group that's fresh, should be ready to go, and has probably been informed at halftime how important this drive could be for the rest of this game.
This is the game breaker, I think, for Middletown if they put it into the end zone.
Slot right, wide left, Snavely, shotgun here on first down, the first play of the second half. Hand off to Thompson, up the middle, 25 and tackled at the 28-yard line for a gain of 5 yards.
They're never really able to get the offense in any type of a rhythm because of the way the downs were going and the possessions in that first half. But this is a Middletown defense that has gotten it done all season, giving up an average of just 10 and halves given up against the JV.
Second down and 5. Another thing to remember here, Scranton Prep has 7 guys that start both ways.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Our Middletown has a lot less than that. Slot both sides. Snavely has time in the pocket, will throw it, and it's high, and Noon is going to come down with it at the 43-yard line for a first down and a gain of 15 yards.
Actually, it was Plummer once again making another big catch. Good size going up, pulling it down. Man, he's getting himself open.
Plummer, 8 catches on the season coming into this game, has 3 tonight.
Well, first down for Middletown at the 43-yard line. Handoff. That's going to go to Lopez. He's going to go up the middle, and he's hit hard at the 47. That's another gain of about 5 yards for Middletown. It'll be second down. We'll call it 6 out to the 47.
And the important thing is gash plays on first down, chunk plays where you're picking up 4 or 5 yards. You don't have to pick up first downs, but it's good to make yourself in second down and at least manageable. That gives you options balancing the offense.
Wing and slot to the left side. Snavely, play fake, back to throw. We'll toss it. It is going to be incomplete. Looking for, not sure if it was for Mills or for Plummer, but neither one of them could come up with it, and then it doinked off of one of the prep defenders. Incomplete.
That was for Plummer.
Yeah, definitely for Plummer. He was on the deep post pattern and just had the ball go through his hands. And fortunately for Middletown, it was Tommy Doherty, the safety, who was unable to adjust to it as it went through.
Third down and 6. 3 receivers to the left. Handoff is going to go to Fox. He turns the corner, 50, and he's going to burrow forward. He's close. He's close enough so that Middletown will go for it. And there's a lot of extra pushing and shoving after the play.
They're digging for the ball afterwards. And I think this actually may, we'll see where this spot was. I think the spot may have been short going into that.
Well, he may have coughed up the ball just for a brief moment there, but he came out of the big pile with it. He knew where he wanted to dive, but I don't think he got there. He missed it by about 6 inches.
So it's on the 47-yard line of Scranton Prep. It's going to be 4th and inches, and you know the Raiders are going to line up and go for it here. This is the Snavely snake formation. Double wing. Snavely will push forward. He will have the first down. He's still on the move inside the 45, and he gets all the way down to the 43-yard line, and it's a 5-yard quarterback sneak as the offensive line just bulldozes forward.
Everything we have read coming into this game about this Scranton Prep team has been how physical they have been and how dominant they have been against other teams. I think this is the first time that the team has looked them in the face, smacked them in the mouth, and has pushed them around defensively.
Ethan Newton looked like a snowplow. Just led the way right there for Snavely and just kept going.
First down and 10 for Middletown at the Scranton Prep 43-yard line. 2 receivers to the right. Stetler comes in motion to the left. Handoff is to Thompson. He'll go to the left side and be tackled at the 39-yard line for a gain of 4.
And we know when you focus on one player, the Middletown Blue Raiders, someone else is going to burn you. They're doing a nice job so far on Thompson, but that's just when Fox gets the ball, or Lopez gets the ball, or Snavely lights it up to a receiver.
Slot both sides. Snavely shotgun with Thompson as a sidecar to the left. Takes the snap, looks back over to the sideline. Myers gives them the instructions. 2nd and 6 at the Scranton Prep 39-yard line. Raiders lead 20-6 here early in the third. Snavely takes a snap, throws deep across the middle. Mills caught, 20, 15, 10, 5, drug into the end zone for the touchdown. Tyre Mills, a 39-yard touchdown reception, and it's 27-6 Middletown.
There's that slant pass. He loves it. A lot of the players on this team love the slant. Perfect strike, and that was it. He was gone.
And a mismatch, and picked up perfectly by Snavely as it was Mills against linebacker coverage. Lucas Stage, the outside linebacker, trying to keep up every day of the week. I'll take that one, and so did Chase Snavely all the way to the house with his main man, Tyre Mills.
Donovan Brady in for the PAT. Snap, hold, kick is up. It is good. We'll take timeout. 8:39 left to play in the third quarter. It's Middletown 27. Scranton Prep 6 back after this on the Fager Fink and Finer Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays.
Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
Well, the Raiders take the second half kickoff and go 8 plays, 77 yards, 3 minutes and 15 seconds, and it culminates in the 39-yard touchdown pass from Chase Navely to Tyer Mills, and Donovan Brady's extra point gives us our score 27-6 in favor of the Blue Raiders.
Brian, I don't know about you, and same with Steve, but, man, I've just loved driving around Middletown lately, even past the new high school, seeing those Raider pride signs in all the windows, people's yards, some of the yard signs that you could get from the Blue and Gold Club. Homemade signs are just as good.
Kickoff from Brady goes all the way back to the 1 yard line. It's safe and going into the end zone by Gino, and he's coming over to the sideline. Gets a block, and he'll be knocked out of bounds. Trey Leach is going to finish him off at the 28 yard line.
It's a great return, but because of the fact that that ball was so deeply kicked, it still isn't great field position for Scranton Prep, who now, after giving up an average of less than 8 points per game coming into this game, 166 yards per game of total offense, they now find themselves already through just 8:32 left to go in the third, giving up their highest point total already at this stage of the season in 27 points for Middletown.
Slot left, eye backfield. Gil Martin is the deep man. He's going to get the give, and he is going to be stood up and dropped for a loss of about a yard or two on the play.
Truesdale getting in there. Also, Hayden Landis. Talk about a Middletown team. Made some more adjustments. We saw in the second quarter more adjustments at halftime, and this defense is only getting stronger and better.
Loss of two back to the 26-yard line. It'll be second and 12 for the Cavaliers.
The lack of emotion, too, right now, guys, from the Scranton Prep side and on the field is very apparent.
High backfield, slot left side. Ryan takes a snap, hands it off. Gil Martin again up the middle, and again not going to get that much. He gets back maybe to the original line of scrimmage. He might have got another yard past that, but it's going to be third down and long here for Prep.
This is a typical move also from a coach who his bread is buttered with his running game and that big, strong offensive line we've been hearing about. So what do? You say, hey, guys, this is a statement drive. We're going to run the ball on the first couple downs. And they have been stood up by the Middletown defensive line on two straight plays.
Third down and 9. Slot left, wide right. Ryan in the shotgun this time. Doherty goes in motion over the left, so three receivers that way. Ryan looking that way. Pump fake, looking deep. And it is going to be well overthrown and incomplete. It'll be fourth down, and Prep will have to punt it away. Here was quarter trailing Middletown 7-6.
Steve, you and I had the opportunity to go to the Middletown banquet for the football team this past week, and Coach Myers at the end of the banquet read all the goals prior to the season that this team put down, read through them and said, look, you know, we've accomplished a lot of this. But it's the job's not done. It's not finished. We've won the district championship. Now let's go further. And right now they're moving the cause.
Ryan back to punt. He'll take the snap and put the boot to it. Mills back to receive. It's a nice high kick. And Mills is going to stay away from it. It's going to take a Prep bounce inside the 20-yard line. And it's going to roll inside the 15 and down to about the 13-yard line. So great kick by Jake Ryan, the punter and quarterback for the Scranton Prep team. And Middletown back inside the room 15.
And a smart play from Tyer Mills getting away from the football. That was the play. Looking at the ball being kicked up towards the lights here, it had to be really high for the lights to be an issue. On deep balls, doesn't seem like that's a problem. But on high punts, that's the one time you may lose the ball a little bit. Smart move by Mills, already up 21, getting away from that ball, making sure that just give the ball back to this offense.
Slot left, wide right is Mills. He'll have Stetler come in motion. Snavely hands it off to Fox. Gets through the hole, 15, and out close to the 20-yard line. That's a pickup of 7 yards on first down for Middletown.
And I don't know if Fox got a Charlie horse when he got hit, but he's limping off with that left leg lifted in the air right now, and he is going to lay down on the turf behind the bench. But it looked like Giannone came in, put the helmet right into that left thigh.
And off goes to Thompson on second down. He will try the left side. He's going to be stopped after a short gain on the play. It'll be third down and two here for Middletown.
So Fox is down in pain right now. And again, not sure if it's the left leg, left thigh, or...
He's more of the power runner for this Middletown team, which affects them on this third down and two.
Third and two, Snavely shotgun. Takes the snap, will throw, and it's going to be behind Mills, but he makes a great adjustment to the ball, and he catches it at the 34-yard line. Yeah, gain of 13.
That's a great play, and Ryan was on his hip pocket, so that ball had to be thrown in a place where Tyre Mills could attack it first, and Mills with the ball behind him. That's the toughest catch, I think, for a receiver to make. The ball on the slant pattern, where all your momentum is going to the inside, and the ball's thrown backside, and you have to reach back against the momentum.
And off to Thompson on first down. Headed to the outside, going to the sideline. He gets strung out, and he runs out of room. He's going to be pushed out of bounds. Maybe he lost maybe a yard on the play. It'll be second and 11.
And now Middletown, in the business of taking some time, especially with Fox out of the game at this point, you want to work some clock. You want to continue to keep Scranton Prep's offense off the field. Looks like he's up to his feet over on the sideline. You can hear quickly some applause from the Middletown side.
Still walking with a limp, though. Second down and 10. Lopez goes in motion over to the right side. They have slot left. Play fake. Snavely looking deep. It's caught. That's Malik Noon. He's in the clear. 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, and he's cut down inside the 15-yard line down to the 12.
Well, if you take away a plumber, you take away Mills, well... Noon's going to burn you. And he did it deep.
And I think they're shocking Scranton Prep because I think the Cavaliers have come up to the line and they're like, well, they're going to run the ball. They're going to try to do some short passes because that's what you do when you're ahead by 21 points. Not this Middletown team. They take what the opposing team gives them, and right now it's the middle of the field and in the deep part of the field.
First and 10, Middletown at the Scranton Prep 12-yard line, leading 27-6 here with 5 minutes to play in the third quarter. Snavely, shotgun, handoff. That is to Thompson. Cuts back 10, 5 Dragon players inside the 5. He'll finally be pushed back at about the 4-yard line, so it'll be second down and short for the Raiders.
And he never went down on the play. Just continued to churn forward, continued to push forward. Got his momentum stopped, but never went to the ground, even with four guys pulling on him.
Great kid. The David Degler Award at this year's banquet went to a tie this year. Second time in his history, he and Corbin Stetler were the honorees of getting that award this year.
How many guys, though, could you have given it to and not had a problem this
year?
Slot right side, second down and two for Middletown. Scranton Prep, 4-yard line. Snavely takes a snap, handoff. That goes to Thompson. He has hands all over him in the backfield, but he's able to push forward and gets maybe... to the line of scrimmage. Nope, they're going to call him down at the 5, so a loss of a yard. It'll be 3rd down and 3 at the Scranton Prep 5-yard line.
But the clock continues to run, and that's the key right now with Middletown controlling this game with a 21-point lead at this point and with the offense on the field in scoring range. Haven't kicked field goals this year, but you're in range for one if you want to go for one.
I think you roll out Snavely this time. Not in the pocket. I think you roll him out. Give him an opportunity to make something happen, even though he doesn't do that very often.
I think he called timeout because they look confused.
Yeah, they sure do.
Timeout, Middletown will step out as well. 3:37 up to play in the third quarter. It's Middletown 27, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on a Fager, Finkelmeyer and Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have 2 locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
.337 to go in the third quarter. Middletown leads Scranton Prep 27-6. Raiders looking for more here with a 3rd down and 3 at the Scranton Prep 5-yard line. We'll see what Coach Myers has drawn up here. following the timeout from Middletown.
Winner of this game, it's the winner of tomorrow's game that's also here in Bethlehem. Notre Dame Green Pond and Del Valle Charter. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Slot to the right side, wide right. Snavely takes a snap, handoff. Oh, it's a reverse. Leach looking to throw. He will toss it, and it is going to be caught in the end zone. That's Snavely who picks it up for the touchdown.
That's that play that we've seen them use this season twice on the two-point conversion. The reverse with the second player being able to run it or throw it every single time they have thrown. Snavely went into the end zone, gets the reception, touchdown.
And that giant hissing you're hearing right now, that's all of the air coming out of the Scranton Prep sideline. There is absolutely no movement on the Cavalier side.
Brady in for the extra point for the Raiders. There's the snap, the hold, the kick on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout again. 3:30 left to play in the third quarter. It is Middletown 34, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Vega Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and they're home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Welcome back to Bethlehem Stadium. Steve Lee, John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser here with 3:30 left to play in the third quarter. Middletown leads Scranton Prep 34-6.
I was looking through my binoculars at the Scranton Prep fans on the far side. They almost look like the MSNBC people on election night. I mean, their faces.
Come on.
They don't look.
You got to go there.
Keep the politics away, man.
Make football great again.
Dirty fields the kickoff. 7-yard line. Heads over to the right sideline. He gets a block. 30. An illegal one. He's going to cut back. And it's going to be cross midfield. Headed to the other side of the field now. And he's going to be ripped down by Brady. There's a flag all the way back at the 25-yard line, though.
We've seen that enough times for Middletown this year. Good run backs only be called back on a flag, a hold, or a push in the back.
Hey, I'm going to give Diamond Brady some credit, too, as the kicker running him down.
Yes.
And hey, making the stop.
Soccer season is over, so he's allowed to do whatever he needs to do.
By the way, that drive for Middletown, 8 plays, 87 yards, 3 minutes and 19 seconds, and the option pass from Trey Leach to Chase Snavely. 5 yards and the touchdown as the illegal block is going to push the ball all the way back inside the 20-yard line. Mark it at the 15 after the penalty on Scranton Prep.
And our Dan McGarrow is down along the sidelines getting video and just posted that last touchdown pass to Snavely. So go to our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM on Facebook. Check it out.
First and 10. For Prep here at their own 15-yard line, trailing 34-6. Hand off. Gilmartin, big hole up the middle, 20, and he's going to be brought down at the 25-yard line. That's a gain of 10 and a first down for Prep.
He did have a big hole there.
Guys, coming into this game, Scranton Prep, this is a team that has definitely faced adversity this season. Earlier this year, back on September 30th, their game against Valley View, a retired math teacher and their team statistician, Tony Taps Cantafio, was hit during a collision on the sideline. 10 days later, he died. So this team has, we'll talk about that after this play.
And off to Gilmartin again, finds a hole up the middle, and he's going to be brought down after a gain of about 8.
That story is one that really caught some attention because there's a guy on the sideline. He had just retired from his position as a math teacher and at Scranton Prep, a beloved teacher, a guy who had been around the program, and he died because of the injuries he incurred when he got run into on the sideline. So there was a conversation shortly after that about sideline safety and things like that, and it is a conversation that needs to be had in the future.
Second down and 2, slot right, wide left, handoff again. Gilmartin, he'll the turn back right around the 35-yard line. He tries to corkscrew forward and get close to the first down.
Now, on that play, I was watching Griffin Radibal lining up against the big 6'3", 245-pound senior, Kyle Polishin. Just pushed him, moved him right out of the way, took him to the side.
They are physically winning the battle in the trenches and have been since the first quarter. The first quarter, Scranton Prep came out, smacked Middletown in the face a couple times. Since that time, it's been all Blue Raiders.
They do give him the first down here, first and 10. Handoff again goes to Gil Martin, and Hunter Landis is going to pop him right in the hole this time. Only 1 yard for Gil Martin.
Gil Martin, a week ago, 34 carries, which is a huge number of carries for a high school running back. 173 yards in the touchdown against Montoursville, and it's because they really don't have another guy to go to in the backfield because Ricky Morgan, who was their star running back, 1,000 yards last year, 1,000 yards this year before he got injured against North Pocono, and he went out with a leg injury, and since that time, it's been only Matt Gilmartin in the backfield.
Second down and 9. Two receivers to the right side. Ryan, back to pass, pump fake. Now he'll throw, and he's got a man. It is caught at the 30-yard line and going to be tackled from behind. That is Sam Dixon all the way down inside the Middletown 20-yard line to the 17.
And, Brian, you and I were talking about this prior to this. We were kind of surprised that Scranton Prep got away from the deep and outside passes where they were successful in that first quarter.
And it's where I would expect them to do a little bit more on first down, on second down, and instead they've been running the football, trying to establish a ground game. You can't do that down 28 points. And finally, they're able to make a double move on the outside and get past Mills, at least with the pass play. Dixon, who's known more for his short yardage receiving, catches the long one.
Wide left, slot right. Ryan in the shotgun here from the Middletown 17-yard line. They hand it off Doherty on the jet sweep, and he is in trouble, and he is going down. McCoy makes the tackle back at the 20-yard line, a loss of 3.
He's a beast. He was pushing that receiver out of the way and got right to him and just slammed him down hard.
But that play, guys, has not been there all day long. Every time that they run with a flowing motion, trying to get the ball on the outside, the speed of Middletown far superior on the defensive side than the offensive speed for Scranton Prep. And as a result, they'll take this one to the third.
To the fourth.
Well, we've reached the end of three quarters. We'll step out. Our score after three. It is Middletown 34, Scranton Prep 6. Back for the fourth quarter after this here on the Faker Finger Miner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jim Siebert's Garage, 1649 South Cameron Street next to Dairy Queen, has been serving customers in Harrisburg, Steelton, Highspire, Middletown, and surrounding areas for many years. And they'd like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Raiders football team on a great season. They'd also like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Wave Marching Band. Siebert's Garage, fulfilling all your automotive needs, inspection and emissions, even small engine repair, lawnmowers, and snowblowers. That's Jim Siebert's Garage. Go Raiders!
Welcome back. We are at Bethlehem School District Stadium. Steve Leedy along with John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser here. After three quarters, Middletown leads Scranton Prep 34-6. The Cavaliers on the move here that face a second down and 13 at the Middletown 20-yard line.
Our sideline reporter, Darren Rank, has given us an update. Brady Fox has ice on his injury at this point. Questionable to return.
Slot left, wide right. Grady in motion. He gets the handoff. It's going to be a throwback. Nobody's covering Ryan, but it's going to be intercepted. It is picked off by Tristan Maxwell.
That is an outstanding play from a defensive end who at the last minute saw that play, was unable to get pressure down the field, and peeled back, and the ball was underthrown, allowing Maxwell to make a tremendous interception using all of his 6'3 frame.
And he has been a beast this season, using that frame mostly on the line of scrimmage. That time, as you mentioned, falling back a little bit further, just getting that big body, the big arms up, pulling it in.
This team has bought so much into film work this season. You're seeing the fruits of that labor here today. They are reading this game extremely well.
slot left. Lopez comes in motion to the right, handoff, going to go to Thompson, goes up the middle, and it'll be stopped after a 3-yard gain, but gets that clock moving here. 11:45 left to play in the ball game. Middletown leads 34-6.
And it's been defense. You know, yesterday I stopped down at practice just for a little bit, saw Coach Myers walking off the field there Thanksgiving morning, and I asked him about Bobby Graham and, of course, whether or not he was going to play or not. And he said, at this point, it doesn't look like we're going to be using him. He said, we're going to sit him out, use him next week. That right there told me he knew what they were going to do against this team. It was with total confidence he said, we'll have him back next week.
And the injury to Brady Fox, we're now getting confirmed, is an upper leg injury. A left upper leg injury for Brady Fox. Ice on it. I doubt he's going to come back in. Maybe for the same reason you just said, John, because they need him next week.
Second down and 6. Slot both sides. Handoff again goes to Thompson in trouble. Stutter steps and then gets thrown back. No gain.
But he won't go down. 5 guys on him, and they were trying to get tough and throw him backwards, and Thompson never went down.
Yeah, you don't need Brady Fox at this point. Let him heal back up. Last time we saw him hurt early in the season at West Perry. He only played 2 series there. They took him out after a shoulder injury for that. But this, I thought, was upper left thigh, quad area, and that's why he's out right now. Let him rest.
Slot to both sides here on 3rd down and 6 from the Middletown 30-yard line. Leach comes in motion all the way to the right, so 3 receivers that way. Snavely back to pass. Has time. Now he'll wing it downfield. It is Thompson. He's open. He's gone. 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. 70 yards from Snavely to Jalen Thompson. And this is an extra point away from the mercy rule.
And the play call and the play design was perfect. You send Leach in motion, giving 3 receivers to the right-hand side. You send Mills, who's the single receiver on that side, with all the coverage and everyone aware of him. You send him on a post pattern. Where do you send Jalen Thompson? Out of the backfield on a wheel route against linebacker coverage. Good night, folks. Jalen Thompson to the house.
That wheel worked perfect. He turned that man around, went to his inside, and was wide open. He was 5 yards past him by the time the guy realized he had just passed him.
And it's because there were 4 receivers all to the other side.
I snap. And it's going to be picked up, and Brady's going to be tackled back at the 27-yard line. So the extra point is no good, so no mercy rule. But we'll take timeout. 10:23 left to play in the fourth quarter. It is Middletown 40, Scranton Prep 6. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 would like to congratulate the Blue Raiders on a great season. The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown. For more information about joining the VFW Post 1620, you can call 944-3137 or check out VFWPost1620.com. Congratulations, Blue Raiders, from Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620.
And 10:23 to play in the fourth quarter here from Bethlehem School District Stadium. And it is all Raiders here tonight. 40-6 over Scranton Prep. Raiders to kick off here. And the only bad thing that happened is they didn't convert on the extra point to put it under the mercy rule.
Took them that first quarter. Scranton Prep hung with them. Was doing some nice things. Raiders had to get acclimated. And that was it.
Brady to kick it off. He will approach and squib it down the right side. It's going to just roll out of bounds at the 13-yard line. But that is one thing we saw in the 3 playoff games that Middletown had. Littlestown in the first quarter, they were leading a little bit in that game, 8-7 early. At Wyomissing came out and punched Middletown in the mouth a little bit in the first quarter. But what we've seen in all of those games were big second quarters by Middletown. And by halftime, Middletown's up by multiple scores, and then they put it away late.
Lowered often another game that first quarter was, you know, mostly Falcons.
This team just knows how to turn it on.
Uh-huh.
And it's the weapons that they have where you have to be aware of so many different people. And I think the part that really – the play design and being able to use those weapons, so underrated, and this coaching staff has done a fantastic job of using their weapons.
And off goes to Gil Martin on first down, and he's going to get tackled for a gain of, give him just one, to the 36-yard line.
Updated scores from around District 3 teams. Harrisburg now up 41-13 on Manheim Central. Steele High has a 17-14 advantage on Williams Valley. The difference in that game, a second quarter Nick Neidlinger field goal, which has Steele High ahead in that game.
Kicking points for the Rollers.
Scary but true. He's
and
made
I think
both
it's his... been, I been there for a few years, I believe.
He's got two extra points and a field goal.
And off goes to Gil Martin again on second down and nine. He's just going to run to the left side and gets tackled after a gain of another 3 yards, but Middletown will give that up all day.
And this is a Scranton Prep team that is very experienced overall. You look across the front of their offensive line, one non-senior. As far as their starters everywhere else, the only guys who are starting tonight that are coming back, Farrell, the right tackle, Cuccadrilli, the tight end, and also Gil Martin, who actually isn't the original starter at running back. That's it. Everybody else graduates from this offense.
Two receivers over the right side. Ryan will roll that way. He'll throw, and it's going to be incomplete as Grady could not come up with it. It's incomplete. That's not actually, it wasn't Grady. That was Giannone. Regardless, incomplete and fourth down, and another punting situation here for Prep.
Don't forget, tomorrow morning we've got the Oldie Saturday on WNSS, brought to you by Members First, 6:30 a.m. till noon. I've got the 50s and 60s. Oh, I'll be back in time. Don't worry. I'll celebrate all night, but I'll be there.
I'm sure you will be back, but I don't know how many people who've been at this game are going to get up by 6:30.
You got 50s and 60s tomorrow, but as usual, we've got the 40s here on Friday night with Middletown as they lead 40-6. Another big high boot by Ryan. Wow.
Fantastic
out
punt.
Of bounds, yeah.
Has not been as good a quarterback tonight, although on the season he has been excellent for this team. But tonight just hasn't been this Grand Preps night. Defensively, Middletown, after that first quarter of play, made the proper adjustments and have made a lot of really great calls. The players are doing a great job of carrying out the game plan. I want people to understand, though, how well prepared Brett Myers and his coaching staff has been all season long. Mm-hmm. They recognize the tendencies. They've come out and they have really executed the game plan that the coaches have put out there.
Raiders have it first down and 10 at their own 10-yard line. Majerski is back there as fullback. He's going to be the lead blocker for Thompson, coming from the wing, trying to get to the edge, 10-yard line, and he is going to be face masked down.
How do you miss that?
Oh, man.
The only thing I'm going to tell you is there are 8 minutes and 40 seconds left in a game that's 40-6. That's the only, I'm not saying that that's a reason that you should miss a call that you are 5 feet away from staring directly at. I'm just saying that sometimes that's why some of these things get left go. It doesn't help, and Coach Myers is very upset about it on the sideline.
Second down and 9, Middletown at their own 11. Slot left, wide right, handoff goes to Thompson again, cuts back to the middle, 15, and tackled at the 16-yard line, where it will be third down and 3.
Guys, what would a game be for Middletown at this field without some absolute missed calls by the guys in stripes?
Well, fans remember back in 1988 a lot of the calls. Lopez, after that play, kind of limping around a little bit, but he's going to stay out there on the field.
Third down and 3 for Middletown at their own 17-yard line here. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Snavely takes the snap count. Snap count, looks over to Myers, gets the additional instructions now on third down and 3. Takes the snap. Looking to pass. He is in trouble. He will throw on the run, and it will be too short for Plummer, as Snavely was just in trouble back there and just had to get rid of it.
Well, and look, there's no doubt they're up 40-6 in this game. And you won't want to take anything away from Scranton Prep. They're still playing tough, hard-nosed football out there against this Middletown team, but certainly Middletown is the better dominating team. But now you're getting down to this middle fourth quarter, and you got Brady Fox down here banged up right now a little bit, saw Lopez limping around a little bit there,
You know, you also got to play smart, use that clock, start working it down to zero.
And for the ninth time this season, Middletown will punt. Only eight punts coming into this game.
Who's their punter?
Yeah, I forgot who it was.
It's going to be Maxwell here. Okay. We were wondering if Maxwell, Leach, we've seen punt as well, but Maxwell will boot this one off, and it's going to be away from the return man on the hop. That's Grady back there. Middletown will just watch it come to a halt at the the Scranton Prep 41-yard line with 7:12 left to play. Middletown leading 40-6.
And the Raiders should have Bobby Graham back next week, should be. He had a foot injury last week. He still was suffering with some pain and swelling as of yesterday and today, so they sat him out. The guys got it done. You got Corbin Stetler, who just came back, seeing some limited action in this. We'll have more, I'm sure, next week. And you still have Ryan Hughes, wide receiver, who's possibly able to come back next week, if not the following week.
Well, all eyes are going to be on Brady Fox to see whether or not he's going to be ready next week. He is.
If it's a bruise, he'll probably be fine. If it's something else, it might be a different story.
High backfield here. They'll just hand it off to Gil Martin, looking to get outside, and nothing doing there. He's going to get maybe a yard or two on the run, and the clock will wind under 7 minutes here. The Middletown up big 40-6.
Shot made by number 21, Kyle Truesdale.
We're glad to have you along on 91.1 FM. If you're a business sponsor, want to sponsor our game next week, give us a call this week at 948-9136.
Cavaliers at their own 42-yard line. And in motion is Dixon over to the right side. Play fake. Ryan looking to throw, has pressure, but gets it off. It is caught by Tristan Davis, the second tight end for this team. It's a first down into Middletown territory at the 41-yard line. That is a gain of 17.
And a crossing route that he allowed to develop a little bit more, where Middletown on crossing routes earlier, the ones that are caught in the middle of the field, the linebackers and the safeties have been coming up and delivering solid blows. This one, it was allowed to move a little bit further over away from where that coverage was, and finds Davis for his sixth catch of the season.
Down to the Middletown 41-yard line here, first and 10 for Scranton Prep. Slot to the right side, eye backfield, Ryan under center. He'll take the snap. Pitch, Gil Martin trying to go left side, and he is going to get eaten up. Nothing on the play. Landis in there. Looks like both Landis is in there. Newton at the bottom of the pile as well. Well, they've tried with Gil Martin, if nothing else. He's run the ball now 21 times for 79 yards.
They're just trying to get to the bus right now.
Yeah, I think so.
They're well aware. They've been beaten tonight.
Wide to either side, eye backfield, second down and 11. Hand off again to Gil Martin, and again he is punished by the entire center of the Middletown defensive front. No gain.
There are six or seven guys in the middle of that pile for Middletown against this offensive line that coming into this game, the big concern for Middletown was going to be this big, strong offensive line for Scranton Prep. Experienced guys. How are they going to be able to stand up? I think we've had our answer today because Middletown has come out inspired.
Third down and 11. Ryan shotgun, two receivers to the right side. He's going to roll that way. Looking. Now he'll throw on the run. Got a receiver behind the defense, and it's going to be a touchdown. That is Tommy Daugherty down the right sideline. And that is a 42-yard touchdown pass from Ryan to Daugherty.
Well, Trey Leach and Jonah McCoy getting burnt down that far side. And these have been a lot of the passes that Scranton Prep has been very successful on in this game. And I'm sure that will be one of those things that Coach Myers isn't happy about when they go back to the film and work in practice in the coming week.
They no doubt will watch that. And the other people who will watch that are future opponents of this Middletown team, because you can tell both teams for tomorrow are probably already up here watching this.
Extra point by Butner is up and good. We'll take timeout. 4:44 left to play in the fourth. Middletown 40, Scranton Prep 13. Back after this on the Fager Finkelbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
A family-owned business for over 150 years, it's the Press and Journal. If it involves the Middletown area, you'll find it each week in the Journal.
Each week, the Press and Journal keeps you informed about the latest happenings, ranging from sports to local government, school board meetings, and police news, from entertaining feature stories to thought-provoking editorials, and their sound-off. The Press and Journal is available at newsstands or by subscription. And now you can get an electronic edition right on your computer. For subscription information, their number is 944-4628 or find them online at pressandjournal.com. The Press and Journal, we'll keep you informed.
Well, Scranton Prep gets one back here with 444 left to play in the fourth quarter. Middletown leads 40-13. That drive for Scranton Prep, 5 plays, 59 yards, 2 minutes and 28 seconds. And it culminates in the 42-yard touchdown pass from Jake Ryan to Tommy Doherty. And now we'll see if, well, yeah, it's there's no seeing if they're going to do it. They are lining up for the onside kick for sure. And it's going to be Butner, and he is teeing it up to come over to the left side. Will approach and put the boot to it, and it's going to take a high hop, and it's loose. Stettler is going to dive on it back at the 37-yard line.
Now, someone reached initially. I don't know if that was McDevitt. One of them touched it. Luckily, Stettler got down there and was able to fall on it.
So the Raiders take over again here at their own 37-yard line, leading 40-13 with 4:41 left on the clock.
We want to remind you that as soon as the game is over, we're on the sideline and on the field for our post-game. You can check it out live on video as well on our Facebook page. We're going to have that interview live on Facebook and, of course, live on the radio.
First down and 10 for Middletown at their own 37. High snap, but handoff gets to Thompson. He gets to the corner and pushes forward close to the 40-yard line. Stays in bounds and keeps the clock moving after a gain of 3.
Keep that clock going, but Prep has done a nice job cutting down the outside, not allowing him to get out and around and pick up that extra yardage. Many times in the past, we've seen Thompson just run straight up the middle and find the hole. So, you know, they have cut down a lot of those lanes in this game.
Second down 7. They will, Snavely, I'm sure, will wait for the official to put his hand up as they want to chew up as much clock as they can. Hand off Thompson, big hole up the middle, midfield, and a first down into Prep territory at the 48-yard line.
That's what we've been missing a little bit of. Bust open that middle, push the guys to the side, and those are the holes that Thompson likes. And many times he's looking back at everyone and waving goodbye. That'll keep the clock ticking. This is going to be a fun ride back for Middletown fans. It took about an hour and a half, hour 35 to get here.
It depends how fast you go.
Well, that's true. You might have been faster, Brian, down I-78.
No, I was driving very, very... There were a lot of police officers out watching and making sure that people were going the correct speed.
And goes up the middle, Thompson, just trying to push the pile forward. Gets another yard or two. As the clock winds under 3:20 now in the ball game, Middletown 40-13 in front of Scranton Prep.
And again, the winner of this game, Middletown, is going to play next against the winner of the Notre Dame Green Pond Delaware Valley Charter game, which is here tomorrow at 1 o'clock, right back on this field.
Second down and 8. Everybody in tight. Double slot. But almost like extended tight ends for the slot on each side of the offensive line. Snavely waiting for the signal. He gets it from the official. He'll hand it off to Trey Leach. Running around. Gets a block by Thompson, but he's going to be pushed forward and stopped at the 41-yard line. A gain of 5 yards for Leach.
You almost feel like this game, in some respects, is a vindication for that 1988 game. You'll never get that back, and it was certainly won by Berwick, but you know, you talk to some of these guys down here before the game and at halftime, and they all feel that you know, they're here, kind of get that monkey off their back, the curse lifted by this team.
They are living vicariously through this
they
team
are,
right now,
yeah.
No question.
And Scranton Prep just had their first state tournament win last week in their school history, because that was a PIAA game last week against the District 4 champion in Montoursville.
Ain't getting number 2.
No.
Nope.
Middletown will get number 1. Here tonight. Handoff goes to Thompson up the middle. makes a move, gets the first down inside the 35 to the 34. That's a gain of 7, and that's going to move the sticks.
That will be the first Middletown team to go this far ever. Of course, we talked so many great years of the 60s and 70s that never even had the chance to do district playoffs, and then the 86 team that never got to go on to states because they didn't have state playoffs. 88, of course, going as far as they did, and this team now, well, again, showing the most.
It's going to be the same distance because it was state semifinals, but it's the first state playoff win for Middletown because there are only four teams at that time, and now you have an entire bracket.
Snavely hands off. Thompson headed to the left side, now cuts back 30. Hurdles a guy, he goes over to the left sideline, 20, and he's going to try to stay in bounds. He does so and keeps the clock going.
And that's heady. I mean, here's a guy who understands that he doesn't have to run the ball in the end zone. He doesn't want to run the ball out of bounds. Let's get down, get that clock moving. Man, what Bishop McDevitt would have had to have somebody do that last week.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, we were at that the football banquet last week, John and I, and Brett Myers, the very first thing he did when he took the stage was note the honor roll students that were on the team, and there are a good number
of them. This is a very bright team, and you see it in their film study and how they attack the game.
High snap, handoff Thompson, going backside, headed back, and he'll just stay in the field of play and gets hit for a loss of a couple. But that's going to take it down under 45 seconds. We'll see if the Raiders need to snap it again. I don't think Scranton Prep's interested in stopping the clock.
I think they're going to have to snap it one more time. But still, Middletown, what a performance tonight. This was a game coming in that everything spoke to a four-quarter, slamming out, banging out, just absolute dogfight. And Middletown took this game over in the second quarter and would not let it go.
Second down, doesn't matter. 12 seconds left on the clock, and it looks like they are not going to have to snap it. And we'll head to the midfield to shake hands. And the demons of 28 years ago have been exorcised here at Bethlehem Stadium. Our final score, Middletown 40. Scranton Prep 13. Stay tuned for the post-game show coming up after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbeiner, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbeiner, not just another funeral home.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Welcome back. Middletown victorious over Scranton Prep, 40 to 13. Let's go down to John.
Stand by. All right, thanks, guys. Down here with Brett Myers, head coach for Middletown. Good hard-fought first quarter, but then you guys just started pulling away, and the defense really lit it up.
Without a doubt, John. I mean, total team effort tonight. I'm not sure how many picks we had, but we had a couple, and, you know, there was a swing there where Tyre hit a punt return or a kick return, and then Blake Jacoby stepped up with a pick six, and next thing you know, Tristan Maxwell's getting in on it, and, you know, made it pretty easy for the offense tonight with the great effort that the defense had, led by Coach Ortiz and all the assistant coaches.
Yeah, you really weren't able to get that offense going early on because they weren't on the field that much, but once you did, it seemed like the passing game really lit it up too.
Without a doubt, Chase Snavely's been doing great all year, reading stuff, and tonight was no different. And, you know, all the hard work he's put in and time after practice with the receivers, it showed tonight because he was hitting the guys he should hit at the right time.
Coach, I know you give this guy here, Tyre Mills, that open ticket on returns from the beginning of the season. He's dangerous, but he scares you a little bit too, but he did another one tonight.
Well, without a doubt, and there's not really much scare in there. It's all trust. You know, you look at Tyre, and there's no doubt you can trust him as a football player and a kid, and he's going to do what he needs to do to help his teammates, and tonight he did that.
All right, Tyre Mills with us now, and tell us a little bit about that punt return. It looked like you're going to go left and right, and then it's like, okay, now you're free.
I just follow my blockers, first of all. I give big credit to all my blockers in the line. It's a big team win, so as soon as I saw the opening, I just started to hit them and start cutting back, and then I found the opening. I just took off.
Hey, Coach mentioned about Snavely and his passing and finding you again. I know you love that slant.
Yeah, it's like he said, days after practice and extra work put in. Without that, then we wouldn't be where we are today.
This whole team effort, and you guys just realize that your job's not done yet. You don't feel that, do you?
No, not at all. We still have a lot of work to get done.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Tyre Mills, a coach. Lastly, you're back to the drawing board again. You'll be probably back here tomorrow, I would assume, watching that game.
Yeah, it'll be a nice Saturday afternoon in November in Bethlehem, coming up to watch a little high school football. And, you know, it'll be a good day to enjoy, and our kids will have a couple of days to relax, and we'll get right back at it, though, actually tomorrow morning. But
congratulations.
Thanks, John.
Brett Myers, back up to you guys.
Thank you very much, John Wilsbach. And, you know, obviously for Middletown, a performance that will be remembered for a long, long time for multiple reasons: to exercise the demons in 1988, to get the first state playoff victory in the program's history, but I think just as importantly, Steve, to continue on the roll that this team just continues to be on, an absolutely fantastic performance here tonight.
Yeah, and it's another near mercy roll. It was an extra point away from being another mercy roll game, and it just made Scranton Prep just another victim for this team. Middletown has rolled up 40 points over the last seven games of the year. They've put at least 40 points on the board. Tonight is no different. And again, a big second quarter for this team. And this time, they didn't really even need to have the ball. They got the special teams touchdown from Mills. They get the interception return from Jacoby. And yeah, they had an offensive, defensive, and special teams touchdown at halftime.
And possessions in the first half. Middletown had two, correct?
Three and out and a 15-play touchdown drive.
And we're up 20-6 at halftime.
20-6 at halftime.
When you have a team that can do that, it is a scary proposition for the teams you're playing against. Scranton Prep had the football the entire first half. If you would look at time of possession numbers in that first half, it was at least 2-1, if not more.
It was probably more because Middletown's drive.
Maybe 3-1.
Middletown's drive was 5 minutes and 14 seconds, and they had it for another minute and a half, maybe. So Middletown had it for about just short of 7 minutes in that first half.
Not too bad. And to have a lead like they did, and I think as we talked about at halftime, the key was going to be coming out in the second half, and if Middletown could stomp right down the field, stomp into the end zone and score on the initial drive, getting the ball in that second half to start things off, this game is pretty much over. And that's exactly what we saw. Middletown went right down the field, scored a touchdown, and from that point, there was no life left in that Scranton Prep team. They had nothing, no answers at all that they could find for Middletown.
You look at yardage in the first half of this game. Middletown had 81 yards of offense. They didn't really have the ball. They got the ball a little bit in the second half.
Let's talk about it.
367 yards of offense for Middletown. So that'll lead us into the post-game statistics for this ball game. Leading rusher for Scranton Prep, Matt Gilmartin, 22 carries, 79 yards, and one touchdown. Jake Ryan, the quarterback, 7 keepers for 26. Tommy Doherty, 2 for minus 6 yards. Receiving, Jake Grady, 5 catches, 57 yards. Matt Gilmartin, 3 for 63. Tommy Doherty caught one pass. That went for a 42-yard touchdown late in the game. Sam Dixon, 2 for 50. Tristan Davis, 1 for 17. Cree Cocodrilli, 1 for 3. Jake Ryan, 13 for 21, 232 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. that went for a touchdown the other way. And Grady also threw one pass, and that was intercepted by Tristan Maxwell. Team totals for Scranton Prep, 32 carries, just 93 yards on the ground, and that's only 18 in the second half of this game. 232 yards passing, 325 yards total offense tonight for Scranton Prep. For Middletown, it was Jalen Thompson, 19 carries for 80 yards. Brady Fox, 7 for 36. He got injured, though. We'll have to keep our eye on his status for next week. Jose Lopez, 1 for 4. Chase Navely, 3 carries, 7 yards. Did have a touchdown run. Trey Leach, 3 for 16. Receiving, Tyre Mills, 2 for 52 and a touchdown. Jalen Thompson, 1 for 70 yards. That went for a touchdown. Trey Leach, 1 for 4. Malik Noon, 1 for 51. Chris Plummer, 3 for 31. And quarterback Chase Snavely, 1 catch, 5 yards, and that was for a touchdown. Snavely passing, 8 for 13, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Trey Leach threw 1 pass, that was complete for the 5-yard touchdown pass to Snavely. Team totals for Middletown, 33 carries, 143 yards on the ground, 224 in the passing game, 367 yards of total offense for the Raiders. Scoring recap. In this game, Scranton Prep came out, and we thought we were in for a ball game because they played very well in the first and second quarters of this game. They got the first touchdown. Well, after the first drive of the game, marched it all the way down to the 3-yard line, and tremendous goal line stand there by Middletown forced it over on downs at the 3. Middletown, 3-and-out. Actually, the third one was an interception by Snavely, but it was more like a punt, but a short field for Scranton Prep, and they went 36 yards for the touchdown. That was a Matt Gilmartin 12-yard run. The kick failed. It was 6-0, and that's how it was at the end of the first quarter. And then Middletown got the ball back and stomped down the field. 15 plays, 70 yards. Took 5 minutes and 14 seconds off the clock, and that was with 8:27 left to play in the first half. Snavely with a 1-yard touchdown run. Brady's extra point made it 7-6. And Middletown did not touch the ball on offense the rest of the first half.
They did not. But that drive right there may have been the biggest key to the entire game. And it's not one that we've talked about much in tonight. But the fact that Middletown, after giving up the scoring drive to Scranton Prep, falling behind the game, immediately had an answer, but also had an answer that was predicated on dominating the line of scrimmage that Scranton Prep so desperately needed to dominate to have success in this game, that it immediately took the momentum away, and then Tyre Mills basically took the rest of it the next time that Middletown touched the ball.
Yep, next time the ball was with 2:17, actually a few seconds before that, but with 2:17, Tyre Mills crossed the goal line on his 90-yard punt return for a touchdown. Brady's extra point made it 14-6, and then on the ensuing drive for Scranton Prep, Blake Jacoby, a 40-yard interception return for a touchdown. The kick failed. It was 20-6 at halftime. Middletown got the ball to start the second half. Tyre Mills, 39-yard touchdown reception from Snavely on that opening drive. Brady's extra point made it 27-6. Then later in the third quarter, it was the trick play, the Leach option pass to Snavely in the end zone. Extra point made it 34-6. That's what it was after three. Early in the fourth quarter, Jalen Thompson on the wheel route, 70-yard touchdown reception from Snavely. Kick failed, so Middletown could not apply the mercy rule. They were up by 34, 40-6 at that point. And then Scranton Prep reeled one back with 4:44 left in the ballgame. Tommy Doherty, a 42-yard touchdown reception from Ryan. Butner's extra point was the last one scored here, and Middletown wins this game 40-13. We're going to take one final timeout. When we come back, we will wrap things up here from Bethlehem Stadium. Again, our final score, it was Middletown 40, Scranton Prep 13. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
Welcome back, post-game show. 40-13, Middletown advances to the Eastern Championship.
in Triple A in the PIAA, a victory here over Scranton Prep, and some happy Middletown fans who certainly came out in droves all the way down here to Bethlehem tonight. Great support by the local community, alumni, citizens, community members coming out supporting their Blue Raiders, and of course the school district graciously getting some fan buses as well for folks who bought tickets at the high school the other day and signed up for the bus trip. So I think you can pretty much expect that again next week when we find out when Middletown will play, either Friday or Saturday. Somewhere we think maybe
it depends on the opponent. It actually should be a little closer because the potential opponents are either Notre Dame Green Ponds, who would be the expected team to come through. They are on the season 11-2,
yeah,
and they just beat Penn Argyl a week ago. 28-7 was their victory, but it avenges a 35-14 loss to that same team earlier in the season. Very similar as far as what I can see so far with this Scranton Prep team in terms of how they're made up. I don't know that their passing game is as good, but they're basically built around a hard-nosed defense and a solid running game. So that would be the team that we expected to come through. If not, it will be Delaware Valley Charter, who's 8-4 on the season, and a team where they're really the unknown. They're out of District 12, and they've lost some games. Won some games, but that's not a team that's like some of the ones that are down there that we've seen out of District 12 that pretty much put out an all-star team like Imhotep Prep, who Imhotep Charter, who has I think 17 D1 guys reportedly on their roster right now.
Well, either way, you're right. It should be a little closer. Maybe a Hamburg, maybe a Reading, maybe Coatesville, maybe even Lancaster, depending on the opponent, depending on the day. Who knows where? Yeah, still love to just have them bring it to Hershey, but
it could still be there. You don't know what they're going to do. Middletown and the two teams involved. Middletown again is on the top side of the bracket. I don't know what their policy
is anymore.
That
means nothing. I just talked with PIAA Executive Director Bob Lombardi this past weekend, and he was talking to me about sites and specifically, and what he said is it's very difficult to find sites because a lot of places don't want to host.
Yeah.
A lot of places have already winterized, meaning you can't play games there anymore because they've taken certain things out or they've changed over. So you can't play games there. And this weekend was difficult too because it was a holiday weekend. I would not be surprised to see them potentially go to Hamburg next week because they wanted to get one there. They couldn't play at Hamburg this week because of the union. On a holiday weekend, runs that place down there at Hamburg, and the union would not work on a holiday weekend, so they could not use Hamburg last week. I wouldn't be shocked to see them go there. I will warn people in advance if they do. Make sure you get your tickets in advance and get there nice and early because there's not anywhere near the size of what you have here as far as stands.
I know a lot of people who have been battling the cold and flu lately, and right now they're glad that they won and ready to get back into the action.
Well, let's take a look at our scoreboard quickly. Berks Catholic beat Shippensburg 37-13 earlier this afternoon in the 4A championship game in District 3. Harrisburg all over Mannheim Central right now, 48-20. That is in the fourth quarter, and the Harrisburg quarterback, you hear Wilkinson, 6 touchdown passes tonight for the Cougars. They have been just downright awesome so far. Steele High with 3 minutes left to go, now down 20-17. And it is Williams Valley who has the football, just getting a new set of downs in that one. So those are the teams around the area for District 3 that are still playing today. Another game in AAA, which matters for Middletown potentially in the future, Central Martinsburg, they have a 14-13 lead late on Carn City. And the winner of that game plays against Beaver Falls in the other state semifinal. And Middletown will be playing in the state semifinal against the winner of the Notre Dame Green Pond versus Delaware Valley Charter game again at 1 o'clock here. Wanted to say one other thing quickly. Good luck tomorrow to Chris Valerio. I know there's a bunch of Middletown residents who are friends with him, the former Hershey lineman and also professional lineman, has done a fabulous job coaching for St. Francis this year. His Red Flash down at Villanova in the playoffs tomorrow, and I know a bunch of guys from the Middletown area are going down to watch that game as well and root him on. He's been a good friend to a lot of them over the years, so good luck to the Red Flash.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Remind you that our Facebook guy, Dan Magaro, here tonight will have all these interviews posted online, some highlights from the game tonight, and you'll be able to check that out on our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. Go there for that. And we remind you, we'll be back on the air again next week, either Friday night or Saturday. And just keep tuned to WMSSFM.com and 91.1 FM. We'll have all the action for you here on the Blue Raider Sports Network. So we want to thank our studio producer, Damar Parker, Owen Hedder, our sideline guys tonight, Dan Magaro with the Facebook stuff, and also Darren Rank with us as well for Brian Kaiser and Steve Leedy. This is John Wilsbach. Once again, our final score here in Bethlehem, Middletown 40 and Scranton Prep 13. The Middletown Blue Raiders now 13-0 on this perfect season thus far. You heard it here on WMSS and the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
You've been listening to Blue Raider Football on WMSS. Today's game was brought to you in part by VFW Post 1620. Also by Seabird's Garage, Hetrick Center, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, Black Horse Tavern, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, Jack's Auto Sales, Brownstone Cafe, Tim Clouser, Remax Realty Select, DHL, JJ Pizzeria, with kids in mind, Middletown Home, Gingrich Memorials, JD's Junction, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, Middletown Pharmacy, Creations with You in Mind, and the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home. Your home for the best in high school sports is WMSS.